I'm done for another day, Andrew, so I'm going to go off and have my artichoke hearts with smoke, with sea salt and rosemary for ketchup, and I'll meet you up later for a free coffee at Waitrose after we bought it there. Andrew Webb is food editor at The Culture Trip, a man after my own heart, absolutely on that. I apologise for talking about a silly story at the end of the show, but we've got to do some light stuff as well, and that's pretty much all you've got in the next 3 hours. It's all going to be sea salt for ketchup for you, isn't it, Mr John Hurst?
No one believes you've got any kind of heart, let alone an artichoke one.
And I'm thinking, would I shop at Sainsbury's at a Waitrose? No.
Of course not.
I love my Waitrose. But mostly because of silly things like that.
Mm. We're not talking about Waitrose.
Why not?
Because you've done that. So instead, we've put in this as well, frankly, but we're going to be talking about laptops, of course, and whether or not the terrorists will simply move on once the laptops are banned and put bombs in things that are still allowed on planes.
You say the terrorists, I'd say most of the production staff. Looking at them, I wouldn't let them on.
That's racist. So, fat people.
Got a big ginger beard.
How long before they put bombs in fat people? They're still allowed on flights, aren't they? We'll be asking those important questions. And, of course, we'll have some meat as a souvenir of a game of Dead or Alive. And a small child discussing the news, then playing a tune on a toy xylophone for you to guess. It's called Toddler Pops.
Sounds wonderful. Can't wait for it.
It's coming.
Well, I will have to wait for it. It's after 1 o'clock, after the news here at Talk Radio. That's John Holmes with you all the way till 4. I'm back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have a great afternoon. I'm off to Waitrose.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Taking care of business on Talk Radio with Exporting is great. If you're a small or medium-sized business owner, you can't afford to miss Talk Radio's expert guide to exporting. From market research to resource management, logistics to local lingo, get essential advice on expanding your product or services overseas. Taking care of business on the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio. Take the next step towards exporting. Visit great.gov.uk. The demand is out there. You should be too.
Hungry citizens of Britain, with Just Eat, the food you really want is just a tap away. So picture that perfect pizza, set your sights on a classic curry. Say, why the heck not, to sweet and sour chicken. Then fire up the Just Eat app, for tonight we feast like kings. Your favourite local restaurants are standing by. Download the Just Eat app or go online to order now.
Become a local hero like Chris. He's an electrician. He joined Local Heroes, an online service that matches customers with trusted plumbers, electricians and heating engineers.
Local Heroes send me the jobs and I take the ones that work for me. Plus, it's really easy to use and free to join.
Chris is right. There's no sign-up fee. Dodgy lights, leaky taps, no heating. There's a local hero for that, and you could be one of them. Visit localheroes.com and join hundreds of trusted tradesmen. Local Heroes, a British Gas innovation.
At 8:30 p.m. on Saturday, the 25th of March, millions of people across the world are coming together for WWF's Earth Hour. And it all begins with the flick of a switch. 1 hour where the world turns off their lights. 1 hour to show your support for our beautiful planet. 1 hour that connects us all. Sign up now and join hundreds of millions around the world for WWF's Earth Hour. Saturday, the 25th of March at 8:30 p.m. Search WWF to find out more.
Right now, at the Perfume Shop, save £13 off the RRP on a 30ml bottle of Paco Rabanne Lady Million, just £29.99. Visit us in-store or shop online at theperfumeshop.com. The Perfume Shop, 25 years of making perfect scents for Mother's Day. Offer while stocks last, valid from the 23rd to the 26th of March.
This is a live update for UK businesses. Every day, millions of consumers are shopping online for quality UK goods. And right now, some of the world's leading online marketplaces have reduced selling costs for UK businesses. To enjoy these exclusive discounts and to find the right online marketplace for you, search Exporting is Great.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
It is, yes. It's 1 o'clock. Good afternoon, Wednesday. Let's call it a Wednesday because, you know, it's a Wednesday. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria. She's got the Wednesday news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, record fine over river pollution, tributes to Martin McGuinness, and no ziggy zag for Brixton.
Talk Radio.
Thames Water's been handed a £20 million fine for letting 1.4 billion litres of raw sewage flow into the River Thames. Fish, birds and farm animals were killed by the pollution in 2013 and 14. Talk Radio's Alex Dibble has more.
The fine is 10 times more than any given to a water utility in the past. Facilities in Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire allowed untreated waste into the river, which, as well as causing environmental damage, made people ill. The court heard Thames Water managers had ignored warnings from staff, who reported it was a failure waiting to happen. As he sentenced the firm, the judge described it as a shocking and disgraceful state of affairs.
Police officers in Northern Ireland have been targeted in an explosive attack. It's not known who is behind the device which went off near a patrol in Strabane last night. Theresa May has opened Prime Minister's questions by paying tribute to former IRA commander-turned-politician Martin McGuinness.
He played an indispensable role in bringing the Republican movement away from violence to peaceful and democratic means and to building a better Northern Ireland.
The PM also said she couldn't condone the part he played during the Troubles. Some victims of the IRA say they'll never be able to forgive him for his role in the leadership of the terror group. Former football coach Barry Bennell has denied 20 child sex offences. The 63-year-old's appeared in court via video link. He's been remanded in custody until a hearing in July. Airlines say they've not been told how long a laptop and tablet ban on certain UK-bound flights will last. The restrictions on services from six countries in the Middle East and North Africa are due to come in by the end of the week. And plans for a huge lightning bolt to remember David Bowie in the middle of Brixton in South London have been abandoned. It's after just £50,000 of a £900,000 target were raised for the red and blue statue dubbed the Ziggy Zag.
The Ziggy Zag.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Victoria.
You're welcome, John.
They should put it on the fourth plinth.
Oh, that would be quite a good idea.
Yes.
It still needs money.
Mm, but it, then it, not,
maybe not as much.
But then it's art, isn't it? It's publicly funded art, probably. Because they're putting something new on the fourth plinth now, aren't they? It was in the news.
They're always changing it, aren't they?
Not always, no. Every
regularly changing it.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Victoria.
I've got to do the weather.
I know that.
It seems like you don't.
I do. It's a thing you have to do. How are you today, by the way?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks, yeah.
Good.
Good. Banter over with. Now, here's the weather.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Wet for many this
afternoon. Are you over your holiday yet?
No.
You're still there in your head?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We shouldn't have left, really.
No. Which bit of it particularly?
The beaches and the weather. It was delightful.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
Can I do the weather now?
Yep.
It's very different to Costa Rica here because it's dreary. So wet for many this afternoon with outbreaks of rain and some hill snow for parts of the north, but brighter in the far north and east, highs of just 9 degrees.
Thank you very much. Was it not wet in Costa Rica?
It was very sunny. Mid-30s the temperature, actually, John. It was delightful.
Okay.
That's the end of that.
Okay, good. Now here's Ben with the pre-recorded sport. Hi, Ben.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon.
Hi, Ben.
England manager Gareth Southgate says they're not going to get any better at major tournaments unless they have a good hard look at their past failures. His first game in permanent charge is a friendly away to Germany in Dortmund tonight. You can hear the game live over on TalkSport. Ex-England and Arsenal midfielder TalkSport's Ray Parlour told us Southgate doesn't face the same pressures as some of his predecessors, and that's a good thing.
The expectation isn't as high as it was under people like Wenger and Eriksson. People expect a lot more, and I think people now have been brought back down to earth and say, look, we're not one of the top nations, but we can improve and hopefully get near them semi-finals if we do improve with the youngsters we got.
The first Manchester derby to be played outside the UK will take place in July. Manchester United will play City as part of the 2017 International Champions Cup in the USA. They'll also face Real Madrid and Barcelona. Finally, rugby. England head coach Eddie Jones thinks the British and Irish Lions should pick four captains for their summer tour of New Zealand. Jones believes one skipper from each of the four represented nations could form a leadership group. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Excellent to be kept up to date with that, wasn't it? Now then, I think you will find we have a programme to do. It's Wednesday, so let's start by asking Chloe to press a button or something.
Talk Radio.
Did you know there's some poor fella in America who's been struck by lightning 10 times in 12 years? 10 times. Imagine that. But if he played Monopoly Win-Win at McDonald's, his luck might change. With even more ways to play this year and incredible stuff to win, from millions of McDonald's food prizes to 20 Mini Coopers, anyone can be lucky. End 2nd of May. Selected items in UK restaurants from 10:30 a.m. subject to availability. Over 16 to play. Purchase necessary except in Northern Ireland. For price conditions and other rules, see mcdonalds.co.uk/monopoly and in restaurants.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Previously on the John Holmes Show.
Good afternoon, it's Talk Radio. I'm so-called Martin McGuinness due to the fact that
one in 68 children
got one arm.
Struggling really not to swear.
I'm Joanna Adams.
Is he from Malta?
No, he's not actually, no. Okay, no, he's from Reading.
Otis was from there. Now, that sort of thing. Train boy! What was the hardest question?
Calculating numbers of Drosophila progeny based on a number of parent phenotypes.
Don't even know that.
God. Where are you going, labourer fee? Common to work in my new factory.
So what do you make of it?
What's it called?
It's a Kia parrot.
Is it a flat pack?
It's Asprod Cass.
And has been born with five legs in Derbyshire.
Hang on.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century.
Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a ball.
Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
Talk Radio.
When I am mounted on a giant twist of a fabric of nature.
Hello then, hello there. Good afternoon to you. Just after 1 o'clock, and welcome to the show. A quick safety announcement before we start, by the way. Now, we have received a credible threat this afternoon, so as of now, all laptops and electronic devices, other than phones, are banned from this show, okay? Now, if you are listening via a laptop, the advice is to check it into the show hold in case it's got an ISIS in it. So simply post, what you have to do is to get it into the show hold, post your laptops and electronic devices to this address, right? Pop them in a jiffy bag and post them to Talk Radio Laptop and Device Safety Procedure, Talk Radio, The Radio, London. That address again. Talk Radio Laptop and Device Safety Procedure, Talk Radio, The Radio, London. And obviously we will post your electronics back to you at the end of the programme, but safety first. I mean, I'll be honest with you, we have got a couple of laptop computers in here, but as they were built by the Talk Radio Engineering Department, they don't actually work anyway, so. To be honest, if ISIS want to make a real impact on the Western world, they should recruit the Talk Radio Engineering Department, don't they? Because they could actually bring down the entire world simply by being put in charge of the Wi-Fi or anything with a wire in it. I suspect one or two of them are ISIS anyway. It would explain the hostility. Hello, it's Talk Radio. It's the 1 till 4 bit of the day, isn't it? Weekdays. Brackets weekdays. I am John Holmes, and together let us throw ourselves into the moor of a topical conversation, but not in the way you'd get on LBC or on BBC Radio 5 Live, no. I say to you, come on in here on Talk Radio in the afternoon. It'll take about 4 or 5 listens. We've established that to actually get it, but at least it's different to anything else you can listen to in the afternoon. A unique blend, as one listener messaged me to say, of topical conversation and knobbing about. We'll take that, that's fine. By the way, this electronics ban, okay, on UK and US flights. So that's flights that are originating in certain countries, okay? Now, I've had an idea that this can make air travel safer, okay? I've had this idea, so here it comes, here, bear with me. What they should do, I think, is issue a ban on terrorists being allowed on flights. I reckon, seriously, if they brought in measures to stop terrorists boarding planes, then I think we'd see quite the drop in terrorist-related plane incidents. Plus, we could all have our laptops back because, you know, you and I aren't terrorists. So all you need to do, surely, to stop terrorist laptops from being allowed on planes is stop terrorists from getting on planes. My laptop and probably your laptop simply don't have any ISIS in them at all, do they? Whereas terrorist laptops are full of ISIS. So surely, just ban those ones. That makes sense. The ones that aren't dangerous aren't a threat. Just the ones that are a threat. So call me crazy, but just ban those ones. I don't see why. Ban terrorists from flying. They can't take their terrorist laptops on board. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Yeah. Honestly, I don't know why I'm not in charge. So So this afternoon, then, here's what we've got. Speaking of terrorism, headline hijack is on the way. You are to hijack the news at 2 o'clock. That is all. With a made-up news story, feed it to us. Just a couple of sentences, something made up in your head. Write that something down in a way that's simple to understand. We'll give it to Victoria. She will read it out of this mouth, this mouth.
This mouth.
That's a mouth. And it will contain your news lie. At 2 o'clock, it will come out of her, and because she's reading it, it'll sound like the actual news, because she reads the news. But really, it will be an untruth. The lines are open for Headline Hijack today, 8722.
Start your message with the word
talk. Talk. On Twitter.
Start your message anywhere, Jack.
The Diversity Paper Review as well in this hour. As we continue our ongoing mission to seek out new diversities, new quotas, and boldly invite them to go through the papers like no one has gone through the papers before. Making us the most diverse programme in broadcasting. Today, Matt is back and he's a Jewish. Later on the programme, we'll be joined also by a small child as she discusses the news before hammering out a tune on a toy xylophone, which you are invited to identify. That is this week's edition of Toddler Pops. The day's big stories will be analysed through the medium of Japanese poetry. We present to you the news in haikus. There's the big debate at 3 o'clock. We will talk to our foreign correspondent about a foreign story that's happening somewhere in foreign. All your reactions on the programme this afternoon, we'll take those as well. Victoria's bonus news today, that everything that's happening in the world of vegetables, Victoria, that's where the news comes from.
That's true.
That's right. Work experience punditry today comes courtesy of Work Experience Ellie, who is in to round up a near metric ton of pop-up hipster nonsense. There's a game of dead or alive as well on the programme today. That could see you becoming the proud owner of a piece of meat. It's a meaty souvenir. Your choice, chicken, beef or lamb or a box of organic vegetables. Why, Victoria?
Because it's not racist, John.
That's right. And we'll bring you hot guest action. As get this, I'm going to be talking to, on this programme, Coolio.
Yeah, that's amazing!
Coolio! Yes, actual Coolio on this programme. He's in a studio in LA or somewhere. We'll be in here. He's flogging something, obviously. A UK tour or some such. It's today's PR exercise dressed up as an interview. Coolio, though. It's Coolio from out of off of the 90s. Gangster's Paradise, Coolio. Ginger Dave is not producing. He's kind of considered a terrorist in terms of his threat levels to students. As broadcast is through the glass. She's through the
miserable window.
Yep.
There she is. Five.
Chloe's on the buttons today. Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Victoria is living in a powder keg that's giving off news.
So much.
Right. Made into Cornelius is in.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, Cornelius.
Hello there.
Hi there.
Hi
there. I'm John Holmes. And this is your Wednesday afternoon thing that passes as entertainment on the radio, on Talk Radio. We're going to start with some music.
It's a good timing today, isn't it?
It'll get us into today's big story. The clues are all in the song or the artist. What is the big story? Play along at home, see if you can figure it out.
You had my heart, and we'll never be a world apart. Or maybe be in magazines, but you'll still be my star. Baby, cause in the dark, you can't see shiny cars. And that's when you need me there. With you, I always share.
Hard. Together we'll mend your heart.
stand. You can stand, you can stand, you can stand.
There we go. When the sun shines, we will shine together. It's the big song to get us into today's big story. It is, of course, the baseball. With their cover of Umbrella. But why? How does it link to today's big story? That's the question, of course. There you are at home, playing along, trying to work it out. Stop doing that. Trying to work out what the story is from the song.
Shine, shine together. I told you I'll be here forever, that I'll always be friends.
Cornelius! Yeah. We've been trying to work it out. What is it then? Today's big story. Today's big story, that's
Umbrella.
Umbrella.
You can stand, you can stand, you can stand.
Umbrella. What could it be? What could it be? Umbrella. What could it be?
Is it something to do with... Oh, it's International Water Day, John.
It is.
It is.
Yes.
Water laugh we're going to have today on the show.
The day that Thames Water get fined a record fine.
Is that what it is? Because Umbrella
is
shields from water.
Whoa.
That comes in from the sky, John.
Yeah.
So keeps people dry and safe from water.
Thames
safe
water.
Safe from the Thames water, which has...
pollution in it.
A whole load of poo in it.
Yeah. No, it's not that.
No.
Hmm. Any other guesses?
Is it... is it the trucker who's made a salad on the side of a motorway? The driver was found by police chopping onions on his fuel tank in the hard shoulder.
Yes! No. I was kidding. No, it's not. It's laptop bans. Because of the flights. Because there's a laptop ban on flights, aren't there?
Right, so that's what we're going to be... Big story, fair play, but how's that related to the song, John?
Because in my bag here...
Right.
I've got this.
A laptop.
And this.
And is it, let me guess, an umbrella?
Yeah.
Well, the listeners aren't going to know
story.
That. I mean,
big story, isn't it? So
stupid.
There we go. We'll be talking about the laptop ban next on Talk Radio. We're going to need a guest to do it, of course. Last podcast lives through the glass.
She does live there.
She does, in her egg-smelling cave.
Yeah.
Hi, Cass.
There's no shower in there.
Hi, Cass.
Hi, Cass.
She's the happiest person in radio. Could you get us a guest, please, to talk about the security measures on flights involving a ban on laptops and electronic equipment?
Okay.
Please.
Thanks, Chuckles.
Go to hell.
Right. There she is. She's going to get us a guest of sorts. So, it's Talk Radio, and we're going to discuss laptop bans and talk about it all and what's going on next on Talk Radio in the afternoon.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Don't do the everyday on Talk Radio with the Royal Navy Reserve. Every Friday morning on the Paul Rust Full Set Breakfast, find out what happens when you push an ordinary radio producer from the West Midlands to the limit.
Join me, breakfast show producer Alex, as I step into the unknown and experience what the everyday can't.
Find out where being a Royal Navy Reservist takes him. Don't do the everyday on Talk Radio with the Royal Navy Reserve. Search Royal Navy Reserve.
Become a local hero like Chris. He's an electrician. He joined Local Heroes, an online service that matches customers with trusted plumbers, electricians and heating engineers.
Local Heroes send me the jobs and I take the ones that work for me. Plus, it's really easy to use and free to join.
Chris is right. There's no sign-up fee. Dodgy lights, leaky taps, no heating. There's a local hero for that. And you could be one of them. Visit localheroes.com and join hundreds of trusted tradesmen. Local Heroes, a British Gas innovation.
At 8:30 p.m. on Saturday the 25th of March, millions of people across the world are coming together for WWF's Earth Hour. And it all begins with the flick of a switch. 1 hour where the world turns off their lights. 1 hour to show your support for our beautiful planet. 1 hour that connects us all. Sign up now and join hundreds of millions around the world for WWF's Earth Hour. Saturday the 25th of March at 8:30 p.m. Search WWF to find out more.
When you're building a great business, only one thing really matters. People. And for the best people, you need the job site used by more UK candidates than any other. Find your people today at Indeed.com. Terms, conditions, quality standards and usage limits apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com.
eBay has every kind of part to help your car pass its MOT.
Son, come and have a look at the car. There's a few things I've fixed ahead of its MOT. I've topped up the washer bottle.
Screen wash.
I've replaced the wipers.
Windscreen wipers.
I've sorted the indicators.
Light bulbs.
And press that.
Horns. Shop eBay's unbeatable selection of parts and accessories to help you get your car MOT ready. The ultimate pass your MOT first time shop.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Devon, there's still delays between Okehampton and Launceston on the westbound A30. A lane's out because of a multi-vehicle accident. A couple of problems in Bristol. Heavy in, along the M32 at Junction 2 for Eastville because of a broken down vehicle. And the A38 Gloucester Road to the north of the city has been closed through Patchway because of emergency repairs. Traffic's heavy on the southbound M5 after a rolling block near Junction 3 for Howes Owen. And early problems on West Yorkshire's southbound A1M has left delays as you approach Junction 43 for Hookmore. I'm Joanna Adams.
Oh, look, it's a postcard from Steve and Lou. Having a wonderful time in Ibiza, very hot, wish you were here. And happy birthday, Mike. Best wishes. And if you get poorly, get well soon. All the best, SNL.
Like getting your money's worth. Enjoy the delicious 99p mayo chicken, part of the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
The Unexplained, Sunday night from 10 on Talk Radio.
It's going to be a must-hear edition of The Unexplained this Sunday night with me, Howard Hughes. American space researcher Richard C. Hoagland is here telling us first about some amazing new research. Plus, spine-chilling paranormality. Some really scary stories after midnight.
Unplug from the Matrix. Open your third eye and listen to The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on Talk Radio.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, it is Talk Radio, and yes, I am John Holmes, and it's time to talk about today's big story. So, as the government announced a laptop ban on laptops, as I said earlier, I can't help but think they'd be better off channeling their energy into banning terrorists from flight. But where does it leave the beleaguered and weary flyer? The ban, we're told, is prompted by US intelligence, who, while not being busy wiretapping Donald Trump or whatever he's accusing them of this week, received notification of a credible threat that radicalised iPads had been pumped full of ISIS. And this posed an immediate danger. Some say the ban is a step too far, as it's already led to confusion. For instance, the singer Adele was prevented from taking an international flight this morning because she has the same name as some laptops. And an extra safety precaution for passengers who would not be allowed to now to take apples on board for similar reason. Just imagine what would happen if ISIS put some ISIS into Apple, a spokes-terrorist told Julia Hartley Brewer earlier this morning on her programme. It would lead to a rise, of course, in the numbers of dissident greengrocers. And that comes on the same day that Princess Anne has spoken out, saying that food should have some ISIS in it, saying she'd grow it on her own land or something. That's the big story at 25 past one. On the line, then, to talk us through this latest terror threat is Chris Phillips. He's from the International Protect and Prepare Security Office, deals with counter-terrorism. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
So, counter the terrorism, if you would.
Well, terrorism is going to be with us for many years to come, and of course what we see from time to time is our intelligence networks coming up with some information, which means that we have to change what we're doing. So I think that's probably the cause of this this slight change in the security procedures for certain flights across to the UK.
Yeah, some people are saying it's an overreaction. I mean, in your expert opinion, is it an overreaction or are we just being very careful?
You cannot take any risk with aviation. If an explosion happens at 35,000 feet, then everyone inside the plane is going to die. So what's clearly happened is the UK-US intelligence agencies have come up with some information that not only they know already that people wanted to blow up airplanes, but actually they had the ability to do so, and making bombs that go into iPads and things like that is not new. But of course, some airports don't have the same levels of security to stop it.
I see. So it's essentially based on the security at the airport of origin. Is it? Is that the gist of it?
I think it's a bit of both. I think there's a big danger that now they can basically turn your smaller devices into bombs by putting explosives within them.
Yeah.
Most airports around the world would probably spot it, but of course, some airports aren't as great as others. And of course, there are more people in that area that are more likely to be able to try to do it. So this is a big risk, and you cannot take risks like this with aeroplanes that are up in the sky.
No. Well, one of the airports on the list is Dubai International Airport, I think that's right. And that, having flown through it myself, is a very sophisticated airport, presumably with, you know, you get your laptop screened at Dubai just as you would in a London airport or an American airport. So in terms of that level of security, it does exist. Or are we talking about a newer kind of, I don't know, explosive that won't be detected in the usual ways?
No, I think it's the way it's put into the aeroplane. So the difficulty is if you manage to secrete enough explosives within a laptop or an iPad or something like that, then actually once the plane gets to 35,000 feet, then there's big troubles for the plane. So what I think the point about this is this may well move to all aeroplanes at some stage in the future. I think they're looking at the intelligence picture that they've got at the moment, the people that want to do it and have got the ability to do it, and they're saying that we need to protect certain airports because of the people that fly from that area.
Fly with some frequency. What, in terms of how you get a bomb into a laptop, I mean, a laptop's these days, you know, thin and all the rest of it, I mean, how difficult is it to get explosives into a laptop? How does it work?
Well, it is quite difficult, but of course it's feasible. You can get explosives into your mobile phone, but possibly not enough to do the damage that they would like to do. So that's why they've chosen the bigger items to be restricted.
Right.
And what's been done in the past, we know, is that they've managed to put explosives, replace some of the battery with explosives, which then, when the laptop is turned on in a certain way to go through security, then it will work, the lights will come on. However, half of the battery is made of explosives, which can be turned on in a different way and detonated when it's in the air. So this is a really dangerous thing, and we in the communities need to accept sometimes from our security services that they've got to take action to protect us from terrorist attack.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
The big, I mean, the problem is, of course, people, you know, people are working on laptops and so on, on flights, especially from certain regions that have, you know, like Dubai, business regions. And then, of course, there's the issue of parents with children that they're trying to keep quiet, which has hit them, if you pardon the expression, like a bomb in many ways. Because, you know, a toddler on an airplane is almost as dangerous as a terrorist, in my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what you're saying. The trouble is, of course, you, as I said before, you cannot take risks with this sort of stuff. You know, it's far better that we have a rowdy person on the plane than it is that we are taking a chance of losing the plane and all the passengers on board.
We could see a return, Chris, to those the heady days of my childhood when all you had was a book and a travel scrabble.
and a colouring pencil.
Exactly. But then again, you know what's going to happen, don't you? The terrorists are going to get wise to what we're allowed to take on, and then they'll be hiding bombs in Travel Scrabble or pencils in the future.
Yeah.
And in the end...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I would say is that we have to be aware that the terrorist threat will evolve and change, and sometimes the security services aren't going to be in front of the threat, and we do lose people. So, you know, this is good that at least the security services are doing something to protect us.
Do you think it's going to move on to phones, though? Because presumably the terrorist, you know, if you are hell-bent on doing this kind of atrocity, then you're just going to go, OK, no laptops, we'll just move on to what is allowed, so the phones will be next. And, you know, the amount of explosives you can get in a phone, they'll fiddle with that to make it do as much damage. You know, we're going to see phones banned in that sense, so we're just all going to be just sitting there staring at each other, drinking very expensive drinks off the trolley.
Yeah. I think the point is we have to bear in mind that the person that makes the decision as to what the terrorist threat is the terrorists themselves. What we've got to do in the security services and the police is look at the options that they've got, you know, and not only look at what's just happened. You know, there's no point. If you speak to people at the moment, they would say, you know, what's the most likely terrorist attack? It will be someone in a lorry running people over or an aeroplane. Actually, it could be trains. It could be all sorts of things. It could be chemicals released into cities. All these things are feasible. So the security services are having to redouble their views and review everything that terrorists might want to do. I mean, I can remember back when there was a specific threat in the UK where they were trying to poison the water system.
Right.
And we've taken huge amounts of costly action in the UK to try and protect our water. So, you know, you have to try and be ahead of the terrorists. And that means sometimes that you're going to have to go without your laptop on an aeroplane, I'm afraid.
Chris, thank you very much for talking to us. That's Chris Phillips. He's from the International Protect and Prepare Security Office. Deals with counter-terrorism there, and it does look like, of course, that this could this ban could spread to everything. I mean, everything you thought you could take on a plane, eventually the terrorists will just move on and decide that, OK, that's banned, move on to the next thing. In the end, what are we going to see? What's the most annoying thing on a plane apart from a terrorist? It's a toddler. Then what we're going to? What's the next most annoying thing? It's a fat person sitting next to you. What if they start putting bombs in fat people or toddlers? Let us know what you think. What if they force a fat person to eat a toddler that's got a bomb in it? What then? Where does it all end? 87222.
Starting message.
With the word talk.
With the word talk.
Talk. At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Starting message. Then what do you like?
I'm John. Shut up. I'm John Holmes. It's Talk Radio. Here's Victoria with the news.
Talk Radio.
Thames Water has been handed a record £20 million fine for repeatedly allowing untreated sewage to flow into the River Thames. 1.4 billion litres of raw waste entered the water in Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire over several months in 2013 and 14. It killed fish, birds and farm animals. Richard Aylard from the firm spoke outside Aylesbury Crown Court following the sentencing.
We have failed in our responsibility to the environment, and that hurts both personally and professionally, because we do care. We've also failed in our responsibility to our customers, who pay us to provide an essential public service all the time.
The Police Service of Northern Ireland says an attempt has been made to kill one of its officers. A device exploded during a patrol in Strabane last night. Democratic Unionist leader Arlene Foster says it's unlikely Northern Ireland will ever see the likes of Martin McGuinness again. Members of the Stormont Assembly have been speaking at a special session in memory of the IRA commander turned politician who died at age 66. A man has been found guilty of killing his ex more than 35 years ago after his DNA was found on a letter blaming another man for her death. 60-year-old Osman Bell has been convicted of the manslaughter of Nova Welsh, who died after being strangled in Birmingham in 1981. Downing Street says a laptop ban for some passengers flying to the UK will come in the coming days. Flights from six countries are affected, including Turkey and Egypt. And Sir David Attenborough has had an ancient shrimp named after him. The broadcaster already shares his name with a ship, a dinosaur and a flightless weevil. The weather wet for many this afternoon, with outbreaks of rain and some hill snow for parts of the north. Brighter in the far north and east, highs of 9 degrees. There's more in 25 minutes if you can stick to time, John.
Can you? Who cares?
I care.
Oh, congratulations to the one person in the country.
Well, my lunch is going cold.
Anyway, your news there that just happened indicates that there's such thing as a flying weevil.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Good.
Can you take a laptop on a flying weevil, or are they banned as well?
I mean, I don't think a flying weevil's big enough for a laptop.
Well, you don't know what a flying weevil is.
Do you?
No, that's why I'm asking. If only it was animal news today.
Well, it's not.
Tell us later.
I'm going to talk a lot about salad today.
Are you? Mm. It's vegetable news in 2 hours' time when Victoria has to make the time up with her bonus news. Of course, she's also here in 24 minutes when she'll have the news, but it will contain a news lie. The 2 o'clock bulletin, of course, is where we put headline hijack. Your made-up news story is very welcome, please. Here's the number, 8722.
Start your message with the word.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message anywhere you like.
Anywhere you like. It's coming up next, isn't it? Coming up next.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
You may have heard of the Justice League of America. You may have thrilled to the Avengers, but I've got a brand new team of superheroes. It's the Talk Titans. You guys, with me, Paul Ross, every weekday morning from 6, and on the next show, whatever the big story is, you can have your say and unleash your superpowers of conversation with me, Paul Ross, wearing my underpants on the outside, which I do all the time, whether they're clean or not. Oh, hang on, I've caught me cape in the door.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It'll only up them, frankly, if it goes up there. Anyway, so it's time for today's edition of Headline Hijack, of course, as previously indicated. Here's why we do it. To confuse those who aren't listening to this bit of the programme. That's why. So, the data indicate that between 1 and 2 is lunchtime. People pop out for lunch, don't necessarily hear this bit of the programme, of course. Which means they don't hear us setting up the, setting them up for a fall. An information fall. Fake news, alternative facts. We've been doing it long before that was a thing at 2 o'clock. A made-up news story. A couple of sentences, that's all you need. And you can hear it spaked as truth out of Victoria. At 2 o'clock. Right, so what's been coming in, Cornelius, for today's headline?
This is from Emily, who says, following the threat from ISIS that has led to laptops being banned on flights, the Home Office has had to invent a new stage to increase the threat level to. It's not threat level two, it's two O's. Confusing. We are now officially at super...
Well, that shouldn't have two O's, it should have one.
You're right. Good work, Emily. We are now officially at supercritical terror blizzard, which means everyone is to remain vigilant even when asleep and expect to die within the next week.
So that's official from the government. We're now at supercritical terror blizzard level. The puppy from the Andrex advert has sadly passed away. This has come in from... Gemma, whilst filming a new advert for the toilet roll. It's a roll in a advert as well as a toilet roll. In an incident described by the company as an accidental tragedy, the dog, aged 6 months, strangled itself on some toilet roll while becoming mummified in the product. A memorial advert will be shown on the television this weekend during X Factor, if that's still on. I don't know if it is or not.
It's not. The Voice
it's
at the
voice.
Moment.
This episode doing The Voice.
Yeah. Or Anton Deck.
Or Anton Deck. Be shown during Anton Deck.
Yeah, it's good. They might give away some toilet rolls.
Saturday night.
You win the adverts, don't you?
Do you?
Yeah. Or you might win the dead dog.
Saturday night, take away a puppy's life. right, OK. Your made-up news stories, please. 8-7-2-2.
Start your message with the
word talk. Radio on Twitter.
Start your message anywhere you like.
We'll be going through the papers next. It's the Diversity Paper Review, of course, where a different diversity each day goes through the papers for us. Today, Matt's back. He's Jewish. So that's that box ticked. Next on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Taking care of business on Talk Radio with Exporting is great. If you're a small or medium-sized business owner, you can't afford to miss Talk Radio's expert guide to exporting. From market research to resource management, logistics to local lingo, get essential advice on expanding your product or services overseas. Taking care of business on the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio. Take the next step towards exporting. Visit great.gov.uk. The demand is out there. You should be too.
Can I help, madam?
I was just having a look at the Nissan Qashqai over there, and someone left this briefcase full of so much money.
£2,150, to be exact. It's a brand new feature.
A new feature?
Yes. If you buy it this March, that's how much we'll put towards your deposit.
For March only, Nissan are contributing £2,150 towards your new Qashqai, up to £2,550 towards a Juke, and £3,150 towards an X-Trail at 3.99% APR representative. And hurry, new Nissans registered by the 31st of March will avoid the increase in government road tax, so head to your local Nissan dealer now. Contribution only available with Nissan Finance. Subject to status, over 18s. Participating dealers only. Excludes Vizier grade. T's and C's at nissan.co.uk. Money won't really be in a briefcase.
Alice's Peacemaking Cupcakes.
I've never been good at saying sorry. I just had a massive row with my stepmom. It was awful. I said some things I didn't really mean, and I wasn't very nice. So, I'm making my caramel cupcakes. She loves caramel. We both do. And I suppose nothing says sorry like a chocolate cupcake, filled with caramel and sprinkled with extra chocolate.
Find Alice's peacemaking cupcake recipe online or in-store. Food Love Stories. Brought to you by Tesco.
Selling is just as easy as buying on eBay. List your items for free and only pay when you sell. So there's never been a better time to get on eBay. Private sellers only. Conditions and exclusions apply.
And it's all change in the new season of Formula One on Channel 4. With new rules, faster cars, wider tyres, louder engines, fresh rivalries, quicker laps and closer races.
Race into the unknown. Formula One starts this weekend on Channel 4.
Did you know premium bonds have been around for 60 years? I recently won £100 in the monthly prize draw. I was off to the bank to deposit my prize warrant when my granddad came over. You know you can do all that online nowadays, he chuckled. And he was right. I now manage my premium bonds online, and I've chosen to have my winnings paid straight into my bank account. It's so much faster. You can too by visiting nsandi.com. Premium bonds. Making people smile for 60 years.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Devon's A30 is still very busy between Okehampton and Launceston. If you're westbound, there's a lane out because of an accident. Surrey's M23 is struggling south near Gatwick Airport. A vehicle's overturned around Junction 9 and a lane's closed for its recovery. A breakdown on the M32 is causing delays as you're heading to Bristol. A vehicle stranded at Junction 2 for Eastville, and traffic's looking busy on the London bound in 1 through Hertfordshire. This is towards an accident between Junction 7 for Hemel and Junction 6A for the M25. I'm Joanna Adams.
Great news, Mrs. Wilkes. For her first swimming lesson, she did very well. Didn't you, Josie?
Yes, I swam all on my own, Mummy.
Good girl. And did she also learn the reverse 1.5 somersaults in the pike position?
Like getting your money's worth? Grab a tasty double cheeseburger. Just £1.49 from the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
Delaney, live at Drive.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio.
Join me today when I will have top journalist Paul Hawkins doing today's trending review, the author of a new book called The Raqqa Diaries, Escape from Islamic State, and our very own girl about town, Olivia Foster.
Stop, look, listen to Sam Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio.
What do you want, a handwritten invite?
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, of course, a lot in the news today. The Lord Chief Justice has strongly criticised the Ministry of Justice. Theresa May has paid tribute to Martin McGuinness at the beginning of Prime Minister's Question Time today in the Commons. Of course, Martin McGuinness very much dominating the front pages as well obviously, we have to refer to him, as you know, as so-called Martin McGuinness, which takes away some of his terrorist power. But that so-called Martin McGuinness on the front of a lot of the papers, as is, of course, the story of the laptop flight back. The news is quite complicated.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
It's all right, Cornelius, because we're here to help. What we do on the programme, if you're new to it, hello, you're very welcome, by the way. What we do is we take the big stories, the current affairs that everyone's talking about of the day, and to render them, I suppose, more simple, is we expose them to Japanese poetry. What we do is we drill down into those stories quite deeply, and when you drill down into any news story, as you'll know, is you do end up hitting short form oriental verse. 5 syllables, 7 syllables, and 5 syllables. It's at the root of everything. It's the news in haikus.
Fossil named after David Attenborough. They went to school together.
The news in haikus, and now it's time for the Jews. Specifically one of them. He's called Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi, John.
Hi, he's our regular Jew, because he comes in to review the papers for us as part of the Diversity Paper Review. Don't you, Matt?
I do, and I'm happy to help you be your Jew.
Thank you. It's lovely to see you again, as it ever is. Where are we going to start with the newspapers today?
Should we start with what you've been talking about for the entire show already?
Yes.
Because I was told to talk about it.
Even though we've covered it all off.
Oh, yeah, I've covered it already, but we'll still cover it, I don't know, from my angle.
Go on then.
Bans on laptops, on planes and other electronic devices from certain countries.
That's correct, yes. We spoke to an expert earlier from counter-terrorist unit, not CTU out of 24, but one that was very similar. And he was coincidentally called Jack Bauer. But anyway, we spoke to him and he was talking us through it and why we have to go through these... if there's not a credible threat, it wouldn't happen. So it is a credible threat, apparently, that's what we're...
I don't want to worry anyone, but as I got off the train at Waterloo Station today, there were quite a few police there.
Yes.
And they were handing out the card with the anti-terror hotline on, saying that if you see anything suspicious, call this number and report it anonymously.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, what with the planes?
Yes.
And what with this? Maybe something's going to happen.
Yes. Well, that's what a credible threat means.
Mm.
And that's, yesterday, I got sniffed.
By a dog?
Yes. At a station, a London station. I got off the train and there were many, many armed policemen, two of whom had sniffer dogs, and they were sniffing everybody who came off my train. So you had to wait to be sniffed.
What was that like?
Quite good.
Did the dog say that you had anything nice smelling on you?
Didn't just sniff me, walked off, so I clearly was not a threat to that dog.
No.
So, but that's it. So that's interesting. But maybe, but as we've been hearing, they have upped the terror alert. What was the level now? Supercritical terror blizzard is the alert we're living under now. So it makes sense. The laptop thing is interesting. I think from the point of view of people are now used to taking those devices on planes. They relax the rules, so we could. You can't even take your e-reader on the plane now.
No, but business people who might fly to the certain countries, maybe Turkey, for instance, for business. You're going for a long weekend or 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
You're not going to take your whole suitcase with you. You just take a little piece of hand luggage. You can't take your laptop with you now.
I know. And not only that, but worse, toddlers. How do you distract on a long flight? How are you going to distract?
Without an iPad.
Obviously, it used to happen in my day. You know, what's wrong with some coloured pencils and a little game? Mm-hmm. Or a book. Not an e-book, but an old-fashioned book. What's wrong with that? So we could go back to that, see the glory days.
I just give Connor maraca in the morning if he's annoying me, and that keeps him busy for hours.
Cornelius is distracted by maraca.
Yeah.
And there's no rules
about... Just the word maraca will keep me entertained for a good few minutes.
It's absolutely true. All right, laptops on planes.
It's annoying, though, isn't it? Because you can't do any work on a plane now, which is especially annoying if you're a terrorist, because they have one job to do, but they have to do it on the plane... Yeah. They can't do that
can't
now,
do it
so
now.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it is. Well, like I said earlier, why not? The answer to this is surely just to ban terrorists from flights. Because that way, the rest of us who aren't terrorists can take our laptops on because they're not full of ISIS. Whereas terrorist laptops are full of ISIS and they catch the planes with them. Just stop them getting on and the whole problem will go, won't it? Just have a terrorist ban. Not a laptop ban, a terrorist ban. It'll stop all the problems. Anyway, carry on. What else is in the papers?
Hipsters disguise themselves, or a criminal has disguised himself as a hipster to escape being arrested.
Was he hidden under an enormous square beard?
Yeah, literally. He was in jail, and he escaped from jail. And when he was in jail, he had a shaven head, he was clean shaven, he looked like an egg. Yes. And now he wears glasses, he's grown his hair, and he has a big, thick ginger beard.
Right.
I think...
Sounds suspiciously like ginger producer Dave, who's not here.
He is wearing a flat cap.
I mean, we haven't seen him for a while. Maybe he's on the run. I think he's in tomorrow. We should question him on this.
But I love the idea that now, because it's socially acceptable to have hipster beards, well, not really socially acceptable, but more normal, and long hair... You can escape jail and change your whole identity and call yourself Tom, apparently.
Hipsters have diplomatic immunity, don't they, as well, so they can't be arrested.
Yeah, if you're walking in Shoreditch, you can't get a parking ticket.
That's true. You're free to do what you like. Mm. That's true. They can still take laptops on planes, hipsters.
Really?
They're pop-up laptops, though.
Oh, right.
Yeah. How did he escape from prison? That's nothing to do with the hipster, is it? Do we know how he got out?
No, he was jailed for murder. So that's quite a serious one.
Yeah, it's one of the wonder serious ones.
That's right, one of the bad ones.
Yeah. Right up
That's
there.
Like the top three crimes.
Then again, so-called Martin McGuinness did load of murder, didn't he? And everyone's saying how good he was.
But you know. He was jailed for 6 years in 2003, originally for carjacking, but was then put in jail again after he stabbed a man.
Oh, that's nice.
So now if you see a hipster, beware. Always beware of a hipster.
He's still on the run then?
Yes.
But they know what he looks like?
Mm-hmm. They've got photos of him.
Right.
He's known
Well, he's probably just in a cereal cafe or something. He's probably popped something up.
He's probably selling hot chocolates or on a high street somewhere.
Well, yeah, well, that's in the hipster way. Exactly that, yeah. He's probably... Maybe he's done a pop-up carjacking shop where you can just go and have a cup of coffee, but while carjacking things that go by. Mm. That's the hipster way.
And you have to pay £10,000 to do
it. Yeah, but while you're petting an owl or something.
There's always owls with you.
I like owls. So what's... What paper was that in? I don't care what paper it's in. What's next?
Age 19
where
of the
where
times.
Are we going next?
Let's go to a toddler who got stuck in one of those toy machines. You know the claw toy machines that they have, you know, in Toy Story, for instance, where the aliens are in there and they try and
yes,
get them out?
Yes, the things that you can never get anything out.
No, yeah. they're fixed, yeah. essentially. Well, a toddler was so excited to get a toy that he was small enough to crawl in the gap in the hole that the toys come out of.
Yes.
And he's ended up... I don't know if you can win him.
Well, that's what my next question was going to be.
He lives there now.
Yeah.
It's just because it's fixed, you can't get him out.
Do you think you could win him? Do you think you put in enough pound coins?
Well, you do walk past those. I mean, my kids, you know, when you go down, because I live quite near the coast, and sometimes you'll go on a, you know, afternoon, you go, oh, let's go down the amusement place. And on the seafront, because it's funny. And they love all that. And then they walk past those machines. But you always look at them, you do a glance, don't you? Because it's always full of the latest thing, like a Minion. Or a Disney or something. Something
sometimes get like iPods in them.
Yeah, or like a £5 note.
But now,
that's really random.
But if I walk past one with a toddler, I'd probably stop and have a go.
Yeah,
I'd get an actual toddler out of that. Yeah.
The only thing I've ever won on these amusement games is, you know, the ones with the shelves that go back and forth, and then you put in 2p.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I once won a watch on that. That was fun, and it broke. I think within a week, though, it wasn't
It wasn't a
real one.
An Amiga. Well, it told the time.
Yeah. It's all right. Good anecdote. Thank you.
Mm,
yeah.
It's okay. I like to bring something different.
Yes. Well, you do that. Is the toddler out there now? I mean, did someone rescue him with the crane, or
he's been released. He's been let out.
Did they give him a toy?
He got a toy.
Of course he got a toy. Do we know what the toy in question was?
I'm just having a look. I think it's a stuffed giraffe.
Ah.
Which, of course, is worth getting stuck in a machine. Yeah. Oh, that's a great scam. Train the kids. John, if we shaved you, you might be small enough, right? So we put you into the machine.
Yes.
You speak in a higher-pitched voice.
Yes.
You'll get a toy.
Yes.
We do that all around the country. We'd sell the toys at a profit.
Yes.
Make a million.
Yes, but what you're suggesting is akin to Victorian children up chimneys. So you're suggesting that I should be sent... like a small child into those grabby machines.
Mm. I will give you 23% of the profits.
It's not a bad deal, actually. Mm. How big is the gap?
Big enough for you.
How old was the toddler?
Three.
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. What else is in the papers?
So much in the papers. You know when you go to a restaurant these days and it's always... food is never served on a plate.
Yes.
Well, one of the MasterChef chefs, someone who was a MasterChef, who was a chef, has opened his own restaurant and he's taken it to another level with where he puts his food. So, for instance, you can get fish fingers out of a chute. You can get potato wedges on a table tennis bat. You can get bread in a cap.
Bread in a cap?
Yep. And burgers on a scale.
Yeah.
I like having food on normal plates.
Yeah. Are you one of those people who objects when it arrives on a slate or a bit of wood or that kind of thing?
I don't mind because it's, you know, that's what the restaurant does.
Yeah.
But if I'm getting served cake in a can of syrup, I don't really know where to begin.
Yeah. I mean, there's the whole thing with you're drinking a jam jar now as well, isn't it? That's that's one of the things.
I saw a mason jar in the dishwasher here at TalkSport.
There's one
who's been drinking out of that at TalkSport. Drinking their Bovril from it. It's very weird.
I think you'll find it's how Alan Brazil consumes his morning vodka. Now, what is interesting about this is that the plate slate wood debacle started as a little bit of a hipstery gastronomic thing.
Mm.
But it can only be a matter of time. Now, we're going to be talking about hipster nonsense later because Ellie's in today to review the Wednesday review of hipster nonsense. But what I'm thinking is that it's only a matter of time, judging by that story, before we are eating our food off offenders.
Mm.
Right? So, you know, criminals, maybe as part of their rehabilitation, you can eat off them. And maybe you can order, depending on how edgy the restaurant is, you know, to eat your starter. I mean, if you were going to a restaurant, what would you, what starter would you order? What, you know, what would you go for?
I don't know. Let's go for some stuffed mushrooms.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So you got some stuffed mushrooms. What are they stuffed with?
Cheese.
Cheese.
Breadcrumbs. Yeah. Spinach, maybe. It's delicious. A bit of garlic.
Right. Anyway, that, right. But imagine, but then there's another menu that you can choose the type of offender you want to eat them off. This is like a pop-up idea, right? So you could choose, if you're brave, murderer.
What about if you could pick where they were from as well? So if you were eating fish from, yeah, like Grimsby, because that's where all the fish comes from.
Not all the fish.
But lots of the fish.
Yeah.
Or like if you were eating an egg dish, you could have it from a farmer who farmed eggs.
Yeah. But a criminal farmer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So maybe you choose, but you know, you could... You could choose, you'd eat your stuffed mushrooms off a murderer if you wanted, or you could eat a prawn cocktail off someone who'd just been done for speeding.
Mm.
But essentially, so what I'm having is an idea here, live, right? I'm just thinking it through. So it's a kind of a pop-up offender restaurant. But it's part of their rehabilitation, isn't it? To get them back into society. What better way of getting back into society than lying on a table, having the customers of a restaurant eat off you?
Would they have to lie on a table, or could they themselves be the table?
I think they're lying on the table. I think they're like the plate. They are. It's food served off young offenders,
and the waiters just come out kind of
handcuffed to them, depending on. Well, the policeman, you might get police waiters. I haven't thought that bit through, but the rest of it makes entire sense.
Well, we'll just get normal people dress up as police, and it will work, I think.
Well, we'll keep working on that, but
that and the toddler idea.
Yeah, we're going to make money. Matt. Right, thank you very much for coming in and reviewing the papers for us. Reminders of your diversity.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah. So, there we go. And Matt will be back reviewing more papers next week.
Hopefully.
Good. All right, in the next bit of the programme, there will be things. Well, I'll tell you what things. Only hot
what
guest
action.
I'll tell you. Hot guest action. Guess who we're going to be talking to from America?
Is it Coolio?
Yes.
Yes.
It is. Gangster's Paradise hitmaker Coolio will be joining us to talk about some Tories coming over here to do later in the year. Coolio on the programme very shortly indeed. You can also get your hands on some meat. It's a souvenir-based gift in a game of Dead or Alive. Register your interest to play. Here's the number, 8722.
Start your message with the word.
That's already on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
And speaking of trapped toddlers, our resident one is trapped by a xylophone. She will be discussing the news, and she will be playing a tune on the toy xylophone for you to guess. That's this week's Toddler Pops. It's all on the way. It's Talk Radio in the afternoon. Headline hijack, of course. Very quickly, to get us into the news, where there will be a made-up news lie to fool those who aren't listening to this bit. Victoria will be here with the news momentarily, but it will contain an untruth. Cornelius, who is today's Victor?
It's
or Victoria?
Philippa.
Where's Philippa from?
Marylebone.
Thank you. Philippa's in Marylebone and is today's headline hijacking. Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.
Do you dream of being part of a more exciting fleet?
Where to, mate?
Spending your spare time with an interesting new crew. If you've got ambitions that go beyond the everyday, listen to the Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio and learn more about serving in the Royal Navy Reserve. Develop new skills, expand your horizons, and experience challenges and opportunities you won't find in your day job. The Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Don't do the everyday, every day. Search Royal Navy Reserve.
Before I've even walked through the front door, she's there with her arms wide open.
You name it, Mum can make it.
She can just kind of feel when you need a cuddler.
Do you know that I'm a tearaway, but she still loves me.
I think she must be magic.
This Mother's Day, give a little magic back with a personalised card and a hand-tied bouquet of flowers from Moonpig. Delivered by courier on Mother's Day.
Moonpig.com.
Order by 4pm Saturday 25th of March. Geographical exclusions apply.
Hi, I'm Leo Martino. I'm the guy that bought you the Hedgehog Gutter Brush. And our latest clever product, the Hedgehog Easy Air Wedge, has just got even better. It's now been officially tested to lift up to a massive 140 kilos. If you fit doors, windows and cabinets for a living, you'll wonder how you ever got on with that one. The new, improved Hedgehog Easy Air Wedge. Pump it, lift it, square it. Now up to 140 kilos. Available from builders merchants nationwide. Hedgehog Easy Air Wedge. Get one in your toolkit today.
When you're building a great business, only one thing really matters. People. And for the best people, you need the job site used by more UK candidates than any other. Find your people today at Indeed.com. Terms, conditions, quality standards and usage limits apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com.
Introducing Domino's new walk-in wins. Buy one, get one free. Any size pizza at any time when you pop in store. And with click and collect, your order's raring to go when you arrive. Two delicious Domino's pizzas for the price of one with new walk-in wins. So just strut in, save time and bog off. Participating stores subject to availability. See dominoes.co.uk.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Stephen Saunders from Nottingham received £1,856 on his credit card.
I wasn't sure whether I'd pay PPI on my credit card. Stanton Fisher did everything for me and took control of the claim. I would happily recommend Stanton Fisher to friends and family.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
In the afternoons, yes, hello, I'm John Holmes, here's Victoria with the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, huge fine for Thames Water, crashed helicopter found, and another Attenborough.
Talk Radio.
Thames Water has been fined more than £20 million for repeatedly polluting the River Thames with more than a billion litres of raw sewage. A judge says the company ignored the warnings of employees before the leak, which put farmers out of business. Louise Bowe is the chief executive of the River Thames Conservation Trust.
It had a devastating effect on the wildlife. Really what happens is it kills the oxygen in the water. That's one of the main things. And things die. Things die. Fish die. The smaller creatures that you don't tend to notice die. The amenity value of the river is severely impacted.
The wreckage of an Irish Coast Guard helicopter which crashed last week has been located. A crew member died and three others are missing after it went down off the west coast. The UK's cabin baggage ban on laptops and tablets must be implemented by Saturday. People travelling from six countries, mostly in North Africa and the Middle East, will have to check gadgets into the hold if they're larger than a standard phone. Transport Secretary Chris Grayling says it's to keep people safe.
We face a constantly evolving threat from terrorism and must respond accordingly to ensure the protection of the public against those who would do us harm. The changes we're making to our security measures are an important part of that process.
Former football coach Barry Bennell has denied 20 child sex offences. He appeared on a video link at Chester Crown Court, which had all the incidents are alleged to have taken place between 1980 and 87. The 63-year-old, who used to work for Manchester City and Stoke, had previously denied eight of the charges. And Sir David Attenborough already has a ship, a dinosaur and a flightless weevil named after him. And now he can add an ancient shrimp to the list. Researchers have used the old English version of Attenborough for the newly identified crustacean. What? Why are you staring at me silently?
Did you find out what a flying weevil was?
A normal weevil is a flying weevil.
Ah.
They fly well, according to the internet.
Do they?
Yeah.
And it's from Saturday, you can't take a laptop on a weevil.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks, Victoria.
Maybe even beforehand. I think EasyJet's already implemented
Weevil Jet.
It has. It's on BBC News.
Weevil Jet.
Weevil Jet.
Good. All right. Weather?
I can do that.
Is it weather?
National weather.
You're telling me to do it.
Weather.
Wet for many this afternoon with outbreaks of rain and some hill snow for parts of the north, but brighter in the far north in the east. Highs of 9 degrees.
Great news.
Stelly Wasp.
You're just coming up with different...
It's EasyJet and insects.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stelly Wasp.
It's about as far as it goes, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's Ben with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England standing captain Gary Cahill says tonight's game with Germany is still hugely important. The friendly comes 4 days before a World Cup qualifier against Lithuania. This evening's match is Gareth Southgate's first as permanent England manager. Cahill says that adds extra significance to the game in Dortmund.
Momentum's a key word. I think when we bring in ideas or the manager and the staff are bringing new ideas to us, you know, it's important we take these on board. And it's always nice to get results because it proves that everything's going right, everything's working, and especially against huge opposition.
The first Manchester derby to be played outside the UK will take place in July. Manchester United will face City as part of the 2017 International Champions Cup in the USA. They'll also face Real Madrid and Barcelona. Finally, rugby. England head coach Eddie Jones thinks the British and Irish Lions should pick 4 captains for their summer tour of New Zealand. Jones believes one skipper from each of the 4 represented nations could form a leadership group. The standout player from the warm-up games could then be captain for the first test. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
And finally, to celebrate International Water Day today, the people behind Water have been piping in a special, richer version of water into homes across the UK. The water is said to look and taste exactly the same, but it's different to standard tap water as it costs more and has 7 different minerals in.
Thank you very much indeed. Victoria there with the live news and Ben with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
Where do we begin?
John Holmes.
Welcome back, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you. Radio. So, yes, good afternoon. You're listening to Talk Radio. Soon we will be talking to Coolio out of off of the 90s. It's a PR exercise dressed up as an interview. First, though, speaking of stars of music, Mariah Carey has tweeted that her song All I Want for Christmas is being turned into a movie. Tweets, Carey. My song is becoming a movie. Exciting news. Well, the definition of exciting news, quite a low bar there, but that's what she said. So we thought, well, if she can do it, we can do it. So on the texter today, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Why not turn songs into movies? We'll take your pitches, we'll take your ideas, we'll take what they are, pass them on to the film people. Cornelius, what you got there? What you got?
I think what would make a great movie is Billy Bragg's New England.
Yes.
The story of a man who was 21 years when he wrote the film, but is 22 now. Almost 23.
Yeah.
People often ask him, when will you grow up to be a man?
Yes.
But all the girls that he loved at school are already pushing proud.
Yes, that's good, isn't it? Yes. So, bass, get a song. And make a film out of it, just like Mariah Carey. It's easy. This is one I've been working on, which is... it's about a woman who's like a virgin, right? Right, and in the plot, what is it? Somehow she makes it through, but she doesn't know she's lost until she found you. Right?
Me?
No, you're not in it. She's beat, she's incomplete, she was sad and blue, but you made her feel, not you, shiny and new. And then during sort of the second part of the film, she's touched for the very first time. So that's good. Less of a cinema film, more one for Pornhub, if I'm honest, but... Okay, turn a song into a film. Do it now. Do it now. 87222.
Start your message with the word
talk.
That's
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with a song that you've turned into a film.
Good afternoon. afternoon. You're listening to Talk Radio in the aforementioned afternoon. I am John Holmes, and we do nothing if not bring you a diverse range of hot guest action, I can tell you. And today, on the phone, on the line, is exactly that. He's hot guest action. He's only Coolio out of Coolio. Hi, Coolio. How are you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for joining us, by the way. I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate the time that you're putting in.
Not a problem.
So, look, this is basically you're coming here to the UK and you're going to be doing this I Love the 90s tour with some of the biggest names of the 90s. Tell us a bit about it, Coolio.
Well, it's one of those kind of shows that depends on what era you were born in or what year you were born in. It can bring back those high school days. It brings back those good times for you. And if you're not from that era and you weren't in high school during that time, then it educates you to another style of hip hop. It might introduce you to something that you never heard before.
Yeah. Well, what is interesting, because I hadn't quite realised how, I mean, I knew Gangsta's Paradise, of course, which was, huge, but I didn't realise it was on the Billboard Hot 100 through the number one single of 1995 for all genres. So this was a kind of where people got into that music through Gangsta's Paradise. It was kind of a sort of gateway song into that genre, wasn't it?
Absolutely. For quite a few Brits and for a lot of Europeans, it was definitely one of the first songs that they were introduced to in the hip hop category. It's one of those, those songs that come along every once in a while, kind of like Let It Be, for instance.
Yeah, well.
Or it's one of those songs. It's one of those songs that you remember all the words to. You remember every stanza, every phrase, it's one of those kind of things. And for a lot of people, it was a song that helped people with some of the mental things they were going through, stuff like that. It wasn't just a party song or a dance song. It was a song that meant something to people. And,
it got you a Grammy as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
The Grammy was secondary compared to how it made people feel, though, compared to what people tell me and what people say to me about how they feel about the song. So I think that, the Grammy is nothing compared to the things that people tell me about what the song helped them with or what the song did for them in their life.
Mm. What do you make of this this story that, because you've worked with Snoop Dogg, and there's this story, of course, of Donald Trump actually tweeting Snoop about the music video in which Snoop, there's a gun and a model puppet thing of Donald Trump, and Snoop fires a gun at the puppet, Trump, and then Trump gets all angry about it, and he's been calling for jail time. Said it'd be jail time if he did that with Obama. What do you make of all this?
Trump needs to get over himself with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a joke.
Yeah.
Just like, people make jokes about stuff. I mean, because he's a president, doesn't make him immune to jokes and being made fun of. I mean, he's a funny dude. I mean, it's easy to make fun of him. He's a target.
Yeah, it is.
For comedians.
Well, it is, and for musicians, artists of all kinds, I think. But what's funny is that Trump himself just keeps reacting to these jokes about him rather than just ignoring it and thereby making it worse, isn't he?
And that's how most things are, I mean, with a lot of things that people get upset about, if they just kept their mouth shut, it'd go away and nobody, give it, it wouldn't have as much legs. It's going to the top. It's going to blow up.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of it might end up being one of Snoop's biggest songs.
Yeah, just because of Trump's publicity. You make a very good point. I want to ask you about, because when you were over here, this was...
We won't call it publicity, we'll call it Trumpicity.
Yeah, all right, we'll take that. Yeah. All you need to do now, if you tweet him, Coolio, with something, he'll reply to you, and then, boom, publicity for this tour you're coming to do.
That ain't really my style. You know, maybe I'll get one of my people that handle my social media. I tell them to do it.
Yeah, get them to.
They can come up with something to get a reaction out of Trump.
I'll help you out. I'll tweet you and Trump.
I'm down for it.
Okay, good.
I don't think we're gonna need any Trumpcentricity.
No, you're not. Because this tour, this is the names on the tour. There's yourself, of course.
Hey, listen.
Go on.
Hey,
Salt and Pepper alone.
It's going to drive this. It's going. I mean, Salt Pepper hasn't done that many shows in the UK. I would assume.
I don't think so. No. We just know them as condiments here. Vanilla Ice, of course.
I'm telling. I love British humor. You guys, your sarcasm and your wit is unparalleled. But you guys also can be a holes sometimes.
I've been called an a hole by Cuneo. I'm proud of that.
British humor is brutal. you guys make people commit suicide.
Personally, I've never done that. Just to be clear, colour me bad.
I'm just saying.
I'll take it from you.
British humor is dire. It's over the top. It's like I said. It's one of a kind.
Yeah.
I've been coming to England since the early 90s. So I've learned how to deal with it. They make fun of me all the time. I mean, they take pictures and do lewd comments and all kind of stuff. And most of the time I don't say nothing.
Yeah. You know. I was going to ask you, when you were over here
as long as I talk about my mama.
When you were over here not that long ago, you ended up cooking a meal for some students, I think, after your gig in Preston. Is that right?
Yeah.
So how...
Yeah, I had a good time with that. It was totally random, dude. It was random scandal.
Yeah. So how did it happen? How did you end up, you know, because you were performing and then you...
You heard what I said. Did you hear what I said? It was random scandal.
It was just random scandal. There was no plan.
Random scandal.
Yeah, random scandal. Yeah.
Scandal is the key... scandal is the key word here. It's a Coolio word. It's a made-up word. It's random scandal.
What does it mean?
It was random. It was a very random thing that... Had it not been handled correctly, it could have been a scandal.
Right.
It was random scandal.
Random scandal, and you hadn't planned it.
Let's put it like this. I was hunting. H-U-N-T-I-N-G.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was hunting.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on the hunt, and I saw my prey, okay?
Yeah.
When I saw my prey, the best way to capture said prey was to go through the house, cook food,
yeah,
sing songs, and pray up on the prey.
And did it work out all right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was magnificent. Yeah. So let's say, but also, they were nice people, you know. At the end of the day, it became something more than it was, you know. One thing led to another, and another thing led to another, and, you know, I met some good people, and we'll be lifelong friends for that.
That's very good. And also, you made peach crumble.
Absolutely.
Is that absolutely? Absolutely. Oh, is peach crumble one of your specialities?
Everything is my speciality.
Ah, good answer.
My specialty is making something out of nothing. I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's easy to feed Brits. You guys, you're kind of this semi-dead.
We'll eat anything. We'll eat anything, Coolio. I mean,
you guys eat blood pudding.
We do. Yeah, we eat that. That's true. One of our presenters on this station ate pet food, ate dog food the other day. Dog food. Just went on the floor and ate some dog food on this radio station.
The British palate is not one of the most refined palates in the world.
No.
And my cooking is, I'm the ghetto gourmet, baby. I can take an old hot dog that's halfway crunchy, been in the refrigerator for about 6 months, a half a loaf of moldy bread, and some hard cheese with a little bit of green mold on it,
yeah,
and turn it into filet mignon.
Ah, that's like a paradise for the mouth, that is.
No, notice how to say mignon. I said mignon.
Yeah, I know. It's a Coolio word. I'm happy with it.
Okay.
Listen.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to give the tour dates here, right? So this is you. Obviously, we said Vanilla Ice, Salt and Pepper, again, back to cooking. The I Love the 90s tour, Colour Me Bad as well, Coolio, who we're talking to, Tone Loke, Young MC. When is it, Coolio? Give us the dates.
Actually, I think it's late September, early October, if I'm not mistaken.
You're absolutely right. Tickets are on sale now as well. Yeah, that's good. If I come to the gig, would you cook for me afterwards?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, man. If you provide the proper utensils, the food, and a kitchen, hell yeah, I could.
I'll bring it.
I'll make you a proper oxtail soup that's on par with any Jamaican oxtail soup you ever had in your life.
This is good. This is good. This is a promise now. I am the prey, and he is the hunter, and he's going to make me oxtail soup.
If we have the time, I will cook.
Man, it's been an honor. It's been an honor talking to you, Coolio.
Absolutely, and you too, man. Actually, you are one of the better. You're one of the better interviewers that I've talked to in Britain.
Hey.
You know, like I said, you got. So sometimes people don't know how to take me because I'm always with the made up words and taking over the interview and all that. You know, you're cool. You're a cool man. And you're hella real.
I like you. I like you very much. And believe me, now Coolio said I'm cool, I can die a happy man. Frankly, I'm more than happy with that. This is the best interview of my life.
That's a Zulu, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
See, there you go with that brilliant humor. Anyway, look.
Yeah.
Hey, make sure y'all... Hey, I love the 90s. The tour is real. Nobody raps over the words. Everybody does live. Does this show live?
Yep.
And it's a good time. I put it to you like this: we've been on tour for a year and a half. We have not even had one skirmish in the crowd. Not one. Everybody just loves each other. And
listen, it's been an honor talking to you, Coolio. There,
you too, sir.
On the line from America, talking to us about I Love the 90s. I'm good at this because he said, and I'm cool because Coolio said, and he's going to make me an oxtail soup. And believe me, your day isn't going to get any better than that. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. That was Coolio. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Taking care of business on Talk Radio with Exporting is great. If you're a small or medium-sized business owner, you can't afford to miss Talk Radio's expert guide to exporting. From market research to resource management, logistics to local lingo, get essential advice on expanding your product or services overseas. Taking care of business on the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio. Take the next step towards exporting. Visit great.gov.uk. The demand is out there. You should be too.
And it's all change in the new season of Formula One on Channel 4. With new rules, faster cars, wider tyres, louder engines, fresh rivalries, quicker laps and closer races.
Race into the unknown. Formula One starts this weekend on Channel 4.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. We had claimed back PPI in the past, but it turns out there were some lenders we hadn't checked. The service Stanton Fisher provided was absolutely brilliant. We didn't have a lot to do, and the results spoke for themselves. We received over £2,500. So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Thanks, Wilbur. At British Gas, we want to celebrate the continued loyalty of our customers, which is why we kept our standard variable tariff unchanged through the winter. Now we're going one step further by extending our price freeze. And that's not the only thing. We're creating a rewards program that saves energy, money, and hassle. If you're not a British Gas customer, visit our homepage to find out more. British Gas, helping you look after your home.
Will City nick it at the death? Will the big man bag another brace? Will the midfield maestro get a straight red? For kicking a ball boy? What are the odds of that? If you reckon you know where a game's heading, bet in play at 10bet.co.uk. You'll get a first deposit bonus of up to £200. And with hundreds of in-play betting markets, when it's time to bet, it's time to 10bet.
Minimum deposit £15. Deposit must be staked in full to qualify. 5 rollovers of deposit and bonus required. Single bets and ACCAs only. Please bet responsibly.
Good news. I'm getting a pay rise.
I'm getting a pay rise too.
So am I.
That's because from the 1st of April, the national minimum wage
and the national living wage
will be going up.
What's more, it's your legal right to receive it.
Find out if you're due a pay rise too.
Check your pay at gov.uk/checkyourpay.
The national minimum wage
and the national living wage.
It's a step up in pay.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
The M23 is still heavy south around the Gatwick Airport Turn Junction 9, where a vehicle's overturned and lanes closed for its recovery. There's been an accident on the A1M in Hertfordshire near Welwyn Garden City. This is if you're northbound, the lanes closed, junctions 4 to 5, so it's looking busy. They're still queues into Bristol on the inbound side of the M32 because of a broken down van at junction 2 for Eastville. And delays near Birmingham on the northbound M6. There's been an accident, junctions 8 to 9. The lanes closed there. Behind you've got the roadworks at junction 7. The M6 is really slow, and so is the northbound M5. I'm Gerina Adams.
When you're building a great business, only one thing really matters. People. And for the best people, you need the job site used by more UK candidates than any other. Find your people today at Indeed.com. Terms, conditions, quality standards and usage limits apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com.
Mr. Jake Yep's super entertaining Sunday breakfast! Sunday mornings from 8 on Talk Radio. Introducing Mr. Jake Yep's comedic Sunday breakfast emporium. Featuring every modern entertainment feature money can buy. Gold and silver equine trappings. Beautiful lady riders. Splendidly attired with their attendant squires.
Rah, rah, rah.
It's Mr. Jake Yap's super entertaining Sunday breakfast program. Yak your ear trumpet onto something solid in the morning. Sunday mornings from 8 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's time to take some of your reactions that have been coming into the studio this afternoon. Of course, Cornelius has them. And he has them now.
Yeah.
And go.
John, I think it's great that bank checks can now be cleared within a day now. That's coming from the last person in the world who still uses checks. Hi, Nan. John, I don't agree with Theresa May's laptop ban at all. Only a small number of laptops are radical. They aren't really representing all laptops. You shouldn't be banning them all.
Thank you very much indeed.
It's coming from some lefty.
Keep that coming in. 87222.
Start your message with a word
at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
And now it's time for...
This is Toddler Pops!
Toddler Pops. Toddler Pops. So, regular feature, all you have to do is identify the tune played on a toy xylophone by a seven-year-old child. That's what you have to do. And the exciting news to you, my friend, is that if you guess what the tune is, you may well be sent, by email, the now famous I Guessed the Toddler Pops Tune certificate. And you'll get a place in our photo album of Toddler Pops Champions, which isn't even a real thing. But you will get a certificate if you get it correctly. Possibly. Because we simply pick one. At random. And then you get a certificate emailed to you as a PDF, printed out, write your own name on it. That's how it works. I guessed the Toddler Pops tune certificate. Everyone wants one, but not everyone can have one. All you have to do when you recognise the tune she's playing on a toy xylophone is text or tweet your guess using this, 87222.
Start your message with the word Talk.
Or at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
And the hashtag Toddler Pops. And we will pick just one lucky person to award the certificate to. So before we hear the tune, of course, I spoke to Maisie. And I asked her how she was.
Well, now, I'm fine, but a bit busy.
Why's that?
Taking on a new job, John. I'm the editor of Peppa Pig magazine.
How have you got time to do that? Aren't you full-time at school?
Sure, but if George Osborne can do it, then so can I. I'm full-time at school. I also have time to draw and play at home. I'm financial consultant to my piggy bank, and I do after-dinner speaking.
After-dinner speaking?
Well, to be honest, it's more after-dinner shouting. Last night after dinner, my sister ate my pudding, so I shouted.
So you're busy?
Very, but I've taken on the editorship of a magazine.
Well, what are your duties?
Well, to be honest, I'm not really in charge of it. I just sort of read the magazine after other people have written it. I read it, draw some scribbles on it, and fill in the puzzle page.
Oh, right.
Exactly like George Osborne at the Standard, then. The Fat Faced Greed Moomin.
Shall we?
Play it soon, abso-blimmin-lutely.
Thanks, Maisie.
Shut up, John.
Okay. All you have to do is identify that song. Your guesses are very welcome. Here's the number, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
And using the hashtag ToddlerPops. And may well get a certificate emailed to you saying, I guessed the tune on the ToddlerPops thing on the radio. Let's hear that tune again, just in case you're still trying to work it out. Here it comes. There it is. What was it, though? Identify that tune. You could get, I guessed, the Toddler Pops tune certificate as a PDF emailed to you. Print it out, write your own name on it. But there can be only one. But the lines are open for your guesses. That number once more, 87222.
Start your message with the word
talk. At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
You all right there?
Yeah.
Okay. We will reveal the answer and whoever got this week's certificate after the news, which is coming next with Victoria. Also in the next half an hour, it's Work Experience Punditry. Work Experience Ellie is here and she'll be going through almost a metric ton of pop-up hipster crap. Also on the programme, a game of Dead or Alive later and the big debate at three. And we'll be talking to a foreign correspondent about a story of foreign that's somewhere foreign. For now, though, just after 2:30, as I say, Victoria is here with the news on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
The government has told airlines they must introduce a ban on laptops and tablets on some flights by Saturday. EasyJet has already implemented the new rules, which mean large electronic devices will have to be checked into the hold on planes from six countries, including Egypt and Turkey. Thames Water has been told to pay a record £20 million fine for repeatedly allowing untreated sewage to flow into the River Thames. Fish, birds and farm animals died as a result of the spills in Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire in 2013 and 2014. The judge at Aylesbury Crown Court accused the firm's management of covering up problems at sewage plants. Rose O'Neill is from the WWF Conservation Group.
This fine is really important. It sends a signal to the companies that this is no longer acceptable. But we want government to take action too. We want them to legislate to require companies to properly plan, look ahead, and make sure that the sewage system is fit for purpose.
A man has been found guilty of murdering his ex-girlfriend after she left him for another man. 27-year-old Michael Lane said Shana Grice would pay after she jilted him last year. The wreckage of a Coast Guard helicopter which crashed off the west coast of Ireland last week has been found. One crew member died when it came down. Three others are still missing. And Ukraine has banned a Russian singer from entering the country to compete at the Eurovision Song Contest. Yulia Samoilova has been given a three-year ban by Ukraine's security service over a past performance in Russian-annexed Crimea. According to Ukrainian law, entering Crimea via Russia is illegal, and the 27-year-old singer confirmed she did perform there in 2015. The weather wet for many this afternoon with outbreaks of rain and some hill snow for parts of the north. Bright in the far north and east with highs of 9 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
Thank you very much indeed, Victoria.
That's all right.
Really good effort.
Thanks.
I'll be honest, I wasn't really listening. But what I would say to you is you'll be back in an hour.
Yes.
With today's bonus news, of course.
Yes.
Now, bonus news, for those that don't know, is where Victoria has to make the time up because her news bulletins are shorter than they used to be. So, and she gets paid the same money. So she has to make the time up. But, usually it's, animal news, vegetable news, mineral news, covers everything off, doesn't it? But today it's the turn of vegetable news.
Yeah.
Would you like to tease us with what we might be hearing about? Just the sort of...
Salad.
Salad based, then, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's coming up in an hour. As I say, Ellie will be with us next to do some roundupping of hipster nonsense and the answer to Toddler Pops coming up very shortly indeed.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley-Brewer. Join the titanium lady of Talk Radio for 3 hours of provocative discussion, intelligent analysis and fearless comments.
Mid-mornings with me, Julia Hartley-Brewer. Your one-stop shop for debate about the stories that everyone's talking about.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Get both barrels from Judge Jules.
Julia Hartley-Brewer, tomorrow morning from 10.
On your all-new speech station, Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
On the radio. Right, good afternoon. I said I'd give you an answer to this week's Toddler Pops, and you know what? I'm really well going to. So, of course, just before the news, we launched this week's Toddler Pops. You had the length of the news to get your guesses in as to what tune was being played on a toy xylophone. She also had some stuff to say first as well.
I'm the editor of Peppa Pig magazine.
Have you got time to do that? Aren't you full-time at school?
Sure, but if George Osborne can do it, then so can I. I'm full-time at school. I also have time to draw and play at home. I'm financial consultant to my piggy bank, and I do after-dinner speaking.
After-dinner speaking?
Well, to be honest, it's more after-dinner shouting.
Shall we?
Play a tune abso-blimmin-lutely.
There it was. And lots of guesses coming in. Cornelius, who has guessed correct? Run us down the list, why don't
you?
Well,
I think it's quite a difficult one this week, but congratulations on Twitter to Sean, Mark as well, Loud Larry. Texting, well done, Paul in Peckham and Thomas in Hammersmith, Jackie and Stuart.
And I've got a Stephen here as well, who's just come in with the right answer as well. It was, of course, this song. And, of course, I imagine that's how so-called Martin McGuinness, we have to call him so-called Martin McGuinness, just like with so-called Islamic State, because it takes his terrorist power away. So-called Martin McGuinness would like to be remembered by having Sunday Bloody Sunday, an event he was at, played on a toy xylophone by a toddler. It's what he would have wanted. So congratulations to everybody who got it right. There is, of course, the business of who gets the certificate. That is chosen at random out of all of the correct answers. Who's been pulled out of the hat?
Out of the hat, congratulations, Mark Redshaw. I will be tweeting you now.
Right. And you get yourself an I Guessed the Correct Tune on Toddler Pops on the radio in the afternoon certificate. It's a bit like Steve Wright's oldies badge on Radio 2, where you get one if you choose the oldies, but we've got no budget, so it's literally a thing you have to print off yourself and write your own name on. It's Toddler Pops. However, now, Ellie's here, because it's we're going to work experience punditry time. Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
We're all right, yes. So, now, you round up hipster nonsense. We're going to take traffic and travel in a moment, but why don't you just tease us a little, Ellie, with what we're going to be talking about in today's work experience punditry. And I should point out for new listeners is that Ellie is a work experience with us. She we've dragged her away from the kettle and the photocopier. We put her in front of a microphone. It's better that she gets work experience, actual work experience, in the real radio world. And this is how we do it. We're very good to our work experiences like that, giving them a leg up into the industry. That's what we tell them. Anyway, the truth is they're free and we don't have to pay them. What's coming up, Ellie?
Well, there's two things you know I love. It's crazy food and puns. So I'll be combining some of those.
Right, in pop-up hipster world.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I thought the hipster thing was over now, but it's still carrying on, isn't it? It's still there popping up every day.
It's forever.
Yeah. God. Right, we'll talk to Ellie next about pop-up hipster crap on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Do you dream of being part of a more exciting fleet?
Where to, mate?
Spending your spare time with an interesting new crew. If you've got ambitions that go beyond the everyday, listen to the Paul Rust Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio and learn more about serving in the Royal Navy Reserve. Develop new skills, expand your horizons, and experience challenges and opportunities you won't find in your day job. The Paul Rust Full Set Breakfast tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Don't do the everyday every day. Search Royal Navy Reserve.
Introducing Domino's new walk-in wins. Buy one, get one free. Any size pizza at any time when you pop in store. And with click and collect, your order's raring to go when you arrive. Two delicious Domino's pizzas for the price of one with new walk-in wins. So just strut in, save time and bog off. Participating stores subject to availability. See dominoes.co.uk.
Writing job descriptions, managing candidates, setting up interviews, hiring's hard. But Indeed.com makes it easy. Post your job, organise candidates, schedule interviews. All on the UK's number one job site. And with more people in the UK using Indeed than any other job site, easy works. Find your next hire at Indeed.com today. Terms, conditions, quality standards and usage limits apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com.
Right now, at the Perfume Shop, save £13 off the RRP on a 30ml bottle of Paco Rabanne Lady Million, just £29.99. Visit us in-store or shop online at theperfumeshop.com. The Perfume Shop, 25 years of making perfect scents for Mother's Day. Offer while stocks last, valid from the 23rd to the 26th of March.
Selling is just as easy as buying on eBay. List your items for free and only pay when you sell. So there's never been a better time to get on eBay. Private sellers only. Conditions and exclusions apply.
When Ollie found a hole in his work boot one morning, Screwfix were already open with a brand new pair in his size. When Tom realised the handsaw he had wasn't right for the job, Screwfix were right around the corner with something a bit more powerful. And when Colin ran out of guttering, Screwfix's click and collect got him back to work in no time. 500 stores nationwide, all open early till late, and click and collect in as little as 1 minute. Screwfix, here when you need us.
Britain, it's March, a month where the most exciting things to happen are grey skies, spring showers, and Crufts. So if you're sitting inside dreaming about April, then snap out of it. Because EE has mega deals in store throughout March. Save £180 on a super fast 4G SIM and get 20 gigabytes for just $19.99 per month. Chop, chop. These offers won't last forever. March in store now for even more Mega March deals.
Offer ends 4th of April 2017. Minimum term applies. Other terms apply. See ee.co.uk.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Surrey's M3 is heavy south because of an accident around Junction 3 for Lightwater, and the M23 is queuey south near Gatwick Airport around Junction 9 as the recovery of an overturned vehicle continues. There's delays on the northbound M1 around Junction 6A for the M25. Two of the three lanes are blocked by an accident. North of Bristol, the A38 Gloucester Road through Patchway as you head out the city is still closed because of a burst water main, and a broken down vehicle on the northbound M6 near Birmingham's causing delays. The restrictions of Junctions 8 to 9, queues back to 5. The M5 is also very busy. I'm Jarena Adams.
When you're building a great business, only one thing really matters. People. And for the best people, you need the job site used by more UK candidates than any other. Find your people today at Indeed.com. Terms, conditions, quality standards and usage limits apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com.
Jerry! You've watched the cult TV show, you've seen the controversial opera, you've read the best-selling book, and you've drunk the intoxicating aftershave. Now, check out the Jerry Springer radio show, right here, only on Talk Radio. Join me, Jerry Springer, live on tape from a coffee shop in Kentucky, and enjoy the very best after-hours conversation, recreation, and just a little caffeination. It's Tales, Tunes, and Tomfoolery on the Jerry Springer radio show, this Saturday from midnight, only on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
In the afternoons, hello, I am John Holmes. It's Talk Radio. It takes about four listens, then you'll get it. Right, so here's what happens now. The news happens. It's quite complicated, isn't it? 68 nations are meeting to discuss how to defeat the Islamic State. right as I speak. Theresa May has said and paid tribute to Martin McGuinness, so-called Martin McGuinness. We have to call him that, takes his power as a terrorist away. So-called Martin McGuinness, tributes paid by Theresa May at the Prime Minister's questions in the House of Commons today. A lot in the front of the papers, of course, all this stuff about the laptop ban that's coming in, possibly by Saturday, as early as Saturday, from several countries taking your electronic devices on planes. And so the news is quite complicated, isn't it?
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
Don't you worry about it, Cornelius, because we're here to help those who cannot. And the way we do that is by taking the news and exposing it, really, to short form oriental verse. Japanese poetry, if you will, or even if you won't. Five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. We present the news in haikus.
Flight laptop ban. Wish ISIS would hatch a plan to put bombs in fatties.
Adios! In haiku. Ellie is with us. She is our work experience today. She's doing work experience punditry. The punditry she is concerned with is a roundup of a week's worth of hipster nonsense. If it pops up, Ellie's got her hands on it. What is it, Ellie, today? What have you got?
So the first thing we've got coming up is a cheesta egg.
What?
A cheesta egg.
Right, I hate that already.
So basically, not happy with the, you know, run-of-your-mill Easter egg that you get in the shops right now.
Yeah, so passe, aren't they?
Food blogger Anam Hobson has come up with a cheesta egg, which is a solid egg which is made of cheese. Just cheese.
A cheesa egg.
A cheesa egg.
She was on our show once.
Was she?
Anam.
Who?
She made a cake.
Oh, Anam, yeah. She's on Paul Ross a lot as well, on
what?
His show.
Oh, right. God for that. There's a cheesy egg if I've ever heard of one. So she's made... it's a lump of cheese shaped like an egg.
Yeah, exactly. For Easter. Because chocolate was too mainstream.
Yeah.
So she's mixed it up.
It's like, you know, like... Is it wedding cakes now? Instead of wedding cakes, people have cheese, don't they?
I haven't actually seen that, but do they?
Yeah, so you know, like the old-fashioned wedding cake with different tiers on it and with columns and it's about seven levels, that kind of nonsense. People now have different cheeses, round truckles of cheese going up in different up to the. Seriously, they do.
Wouldn't that really smell? Like,
no,
your whole wedding reception just smells.
No,
cheese.
It doesn't, because it's got its wax, doesn't it?
Oh, I see.
And then they cut into it, and the thing.
Then it smells.
But then, how would you do? You know, when people like smush cake into each other's faces.
Well, they smush cheese.
They grate cheese onto each other's faces, don't they?
Yeah, that's how it works. But they do that. That is a thing. I mean, I was going to say cheesecake, but that's a different thing. That's not what it is.
Entirely acceptable
it's
thing.
A cake made out of cheese. The cake's shaped. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a thing.
Ah.
So, but a cheese egg, right?
Right.
Is it hollow? Is there more cheese in it?
No, like, as far as I can tell, it's like a solid.
So it's just a lump of cheese.
Yeah, she's also done a cheese advent calendar before.
Yeah.
So it's where you basically have to like open the doors and there's cheese instead of chocolate.
Yeah. All right, interesting. But in terms of what's going on within, where's it marketed? I mean, she's just selling it from...
Well, she has a food blog, so I'd really recommend it. It's called So Wrong It's Nom, and you can have a look at loads of different food items on there, including she had a look at making jam out of Pringles.
Yeah.
Because you can basically make jam out of anything, you know.
Yeah.
Have you seen this trend?
No.
So it's a massive YouTube trend.
Yes.
Where you try and make jam out of different things. So I've seen someone make jam out of Oreos, you know, the biscuits.
Okay.
And then out of Pringles.
Yeah.
And then you basically spread it on toast and you tell them, can you jam that?
Okay. Stay there, because there's some breaking news, by the way. Sorry to interrupt you, Ellie, but we've got some breaking news that we're going to take. We're taking it now?
2 minutes.
All right, okay, we're going to bring you some breaking news. There's reports of a shooting outside Parliament in London. This is an alert from Westminster Police. Eyewitnesses say sounds similar to gunfire have been heard close to the Palace of Westminster. Victoria's here with more details of the breaking news as he's breaking now.
That's right. So we haven't got anything confirmed by police at the moment, but we understand that a car has been driven into the gates outside of Westminster's at Westminster and sounds similar to gunfire have been heard close to it. So a man with a knife has been seen, according to eyewitnesses in the area. We've sent our reporter Alex Dibble down there to see what's going on, and we'll bring you more on this as we get it.
OK, thank you very much, Victoria. That will, as she rightly says, be with you in the news at 3 o'clock. It's around 10 minutes time, if we can get to Alex live from the scene. That's what we'll do. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley Brewer. Join the Fleet Street firebrand who isn't afraid to shoot from the lip.
I'll be talking about all the biggest stories. If you're talking about them, so are we. But we'll get behind the headlines, talk to the biggest guests and those politicians, just so you don't have to.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
Are you?
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So more details of that breaking story coming to you as we get it. Victoria will be here with the news at 3, as you know, and Alex Dibble, if we can get hold of him, who's gone down to the scene to find out what's going on. But essentially, eyewitnesses say sounds similar to gunfire have been heard close to the Palace of Westminster. Now, Ellie, we're going to continue with you, of course, while we wait for that to come through. So you were telling me about a jam craze.
Right.
So you can make jam.
You can basically make jam out of pretty much anything, which people are testing to the limits at the moment, which is a big craze on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that you can make jam out of Oreo. I've seen that successfully done.
Yeah.
Apparently Pringle jam doesn't quite hold up.
Well, it would just be crunchy jam.
Yeah, that's basically what they said. Apparently you can kind of taste
you can't spread a Pringle.
The way that Anna's website described it was that... So once you kind of make it into a jam kind of format, she said it just tasted a bit... It felt a bit starchy, and you could kind of discern the difference between the flavouring and also kind of the potato. So it was basically just awful. Don't do it.
Well, I mean, it sounds absolutely revolting, I'll be very honest with you. So, but yeah, okay. So what else has popped up?
So on the kind of trend of making foods do weird things they wouldn't normally do, ketchup leather is now a really big fad in LA. So basically a bar in LA didn't want to have soggy buns on their burgers, so they've found a way of dehydrating their ketchup so they can kind of cut it up into squares. It looks a bit like, you know, the fruit roll-ups you get, like fruit winders and things like that, and you basically put it onto your burger, so it's a way of having ketchup without the buns getting soggy. You literally hate
Explain
this.
That to me again.
So you have ketchup, right?
Yeah.
You put it on a large tray and you put it in the oven and you bake it for 4 hours.
Just some ketchup?
Yeah. So you know how, like, when you, if you close the bottle of ketchup and you kind of leave a bit on the outside, it goes a bit sticky?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
hate
kind
that.
Of like a massive sheet of that that they then cut
well,
up.
Well, that's horrible. No one likes
like
that.
The plastic cheese that you get on burgers.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I reckon
what it looks
that's
like.
What it'd be like. But it'd be red and taste of ketchup.
Yeah, basically. And they put that onto the burger. And it's a way of making it so that, you know, there's nothing too wet in your burger.
That's rank.
That's a horrible idea. No one's ever complained that ketchup is too wet. That's not even a thing. When's that ever happened?
It was ruining the buns, John. Okay? They had a problem. They found a solution.
It's not a solution. That's a revolting idea. Why don't you just get buns and wipe it around the top of an old ketchup bottle?
It'll still taste like ketchup. It'll just be a bit chewy.
It's not nice. No, Ellie. I say no to your nonsense.
Oh.
Don't want a baked tray of sticky ketchup. Nobody wants that. No, I've thought about it. Nobody wants that. Not
sure?
Even one person wants that.
It makes for a very pretty looking burger. You know, my whole thing is like, can it be put on Instagram? And I had a nice filter to it. And it will look, you know, get all those likes in. And but this could.
If the round the top of a ketchup bottle, right, as we've seen many times, if it gets all encrusted with ketchup, right?
Right.
What? That's horrible. No one likes that or wants it, right? Nobody.
Right.
Okay, so what makes you think that round the outside of a burger is a good idea?
Well, you know, it's better than having soggy buns, essentially.
A hateful idea. What you got next?
So actually, on the subject of leather, I want to talk to you about something called Pure Human.
Yeah.
Which is a project from a student at Central St. Martin's. I've actually been up and I've seen this in real life. And it's handbags which are made from human skin.
Right, that's...
No, that is rank. That's worse than ketchup.
That's technically illegal.
No, so basically what it is that she's collected, particularly Alexander McQueen's collection, she's collected hair and like human kind of DNA, basically. Yeah. And they've used it, the genetic information in there, to grow in a skin graft, yeah. right? And they've taken that skin graft and they've then tanned it like it was leather. So they've created human leather. So she's created a bag out of famous designer Alexander McQueen's DNA.
Yeah, serial killers do this kind of stuff, don't they? I mean, let's be honest. That's into the realms of serial murderers making clothes, capes out of skin.
She has designed it so it's got the same tattoos that...
It's not right!
Well, she says, okay, so basically it's all about this massive wider project, and she's criticising the fact that there's a legal loophole surrounding your DNA. So once your DNA kind of, you know, like skin flakes and stuff comes off you,
yeah.
it's in the public domain, and there's no actual legal kind of thing to look after your DNA and make sure that no one can use it for something like this. So she hasn't actually broken any laws, and that's her point. Although a lot of people are basically using it as a way to say, why should we have leather from cows when we can now make leather from humans?
Yes.
But I want to stress, this isn't, she's not skinning a person.
No, I mean, that would be taking it a step too far, yeah. if I'm honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's growing a skin graft. It's all very sciencey and very cool. And I have literally seen it in real life. I've held the leather. It just looks like real leather.
But it doesn't look like... It doesn't have the texture of human skin.
No. It's just... Because it's all... No, you wouldn't want that.
You wouldn't want that.
Don't rule it out. I mean, if you think of that, the softness of a bag made of actual human skin...
Right.
Because the leather's brittle, isn't it? Hard, isn't it? You can get soft leather, but you know, if you had literally... I mean, if you could make different items out of just skin...
Yeah. So you're going wider with this. I mean, at first you were repulsed, but you're now looking to expand the franchise.
I think I am a little bit, yeah. I think that's fine. Maybe you could make a whole...
Could you upholster a car?
You could upholster a car. Everything that leather can do, this could do. Like whips...
Right.
Right. So, leather chaps.
Mm-hmm.
One of those masks with a zip in it.
Nice.
You know, that could have the face of someone you love. Couldn't it? Because you could.
I mean, it could.
It could.
I'm not saying anyone's going to buy
it, John. If you have tattoos, right, then you could technically have, if you got someone's face skin, you could turn their actual head skin into a mask with a zip on it.
What if you wanted, like, facial tattoos, but you're worried about, you know, what everyone will think at work? So instead you could get this mask that's human skin, tattoo it, and then, you know, on a Friday night, put your mask on.
Yeah, well, so no, I mean, again, I'm just helping with... You know, if skin is a new thing, that what you could do is invent a whole load of new pop-up things made of skin, like a whole pop-up restaurant or something, because I know you're keen on that sort of stuff, made of skin. You know,
made
and certain
of
bits
skin.
Of skin pop up better than others, don't they? You know, medically speaking. So, you could technically make... You could make an entire restaurant...
Right. Out of human skin.
Out of genitals, couldn't you?
Well, I mean, the way she's doing it is with a skin graft that she's growing. I just really want to stress, she's not actually taking people...
No, but I'm just taking it to the next level.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's all about the hipster, isn't it? Hipster's just about the ideas. So I'm just spitballing ideas here for the latest in hipster trends.
So are you expecting to see in a few months' time there being a pop-up?
Well, there could be. Just a suggestion.
Just a suggestion.
Just a suggestion. Just a suggestion. Anything else finally?
Yes, so speaking of pop-up cafes,
yep.
There is a campaign going on the internet to try and finance a sheep cafe to come to London. So it'll be called Sheepland. It'll be serving up sandwiches, salads and desserts, while Jake and Jenny, who are two sheep, roam around the cafe.
Yep.
You can pet them if you like. So they've organised a crowdfunding campaign. I'll be honest with you, it's not going super well, seeing as it's only raised $100 of its $25,000 goal. But if it's something that you're interested in, there's 20 days left. So if you want to go and give them that extra $24,000 to see a sheep cafe come to London, it could become a permanent fixture. It doesn't even have to be a pop-up, John.
I'm going to give it a miss, and I think I'm going to just go with my skin restaurant idea instead.
But sheep are so nice. Couldn't you be like... You know, you've got wool there and then the human leather. You could twin the two ideas.
Yeah.
Why do you have to box them in?
Yeah, well, quite. All right, thank you very much. Look, we're going to go because breaking news, etc. Victoria's going to have the news with you in a couple of minutes' time. We think we've got Alex Dibble talking live from the scene as well. Just that headline again, firearms incident on Westminster Bridge in London. All the details coming up with Victoria. Thank you, Ellie.
Thanks.
Thank you very much indeed. You're listening to Talk Radio in the Afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
The new TradePoint catalogue is out now, with a huge range of trade products and brands at low trade prices. Grab a copy for your van in one of our 290 stores nationwide today. TradePoint. Trade brands. Trade prices. Trade only.
TradePoint! On the 25th of October 2016, the government announced Heathrow as its preferred scheme for new airport capacity in the South East. A national consultation is now underway to discuss what happens next. Go online to find out more. More about what expansion at Heathrow Airport may mean for the United Kingdom as a whole. And more about what it could mean for your own region. And quite simply, to have your say. Search Heathrow Airport Expansion.
Hungry citizens of Britain! With Just Eat, the food you really want is just a tap away! So picture that perfect pizza. Set your sights on a classic curry. Say, why the heck not, the sweet and sour chicken. Then fire up the Just Eat app. For tonight, we feast like kings! Your favourite local restaurants are standing by. Download the Just Eat app or go online to order now!
Become a local hero like Chris. He's an electrician. He joined Local Heroes, an online service that matches customers with trusted plumbers, electricians and heating engineers.
Local Heroes send me the jobs and I take the ones that work for me. Plus, it's really easy to use and free to join.
Chris is right. There's no sign-up fee. Dodgy lights, leaky taps, no heating. There's a local hero for that, and you could be one of them. Visit localheroes.com and join hundreds of trusted tradesmen. Local Heroes, a British Gas innovation.
And it's all change in the new season of Formula One on Channel 4. With new rules, faster cars, wider tyres, louder engines, fresh rivalries, quicker laps and closer races.
Race into the unknown. Formula One starts this weekend on Channel 4.
When you're building a great business, only one thing really matters. People. And for the best people, you need the job site used by more UK candidates than any other. Find your people today at Indeed.com. Terms, conditions, quality standards and usage limits apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com.
Don't miss our trade-exclusive, one-week-only catalogue launch deals, like 10% off all tiling, flooring and Leyland trade paint. See in-store or online for more. Hurry, offers end Sunday 26th of March. TradePoint, trade brands, trade prices, trade only. TradePoint!
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
It's Talk Radio. Good afternoon. My name is John Holmes, and with more on that breaking news story, here's Victoria with the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, a major security alert near Parliament.
Talk Radio.
The House of Commons is on lockdown after witnesses described hearing gunfire. The Metropolitan Police has confirmed they're dealing with a major incident involving firearms outside of Westminster. Let's go live to Talk Radio's Alex Dibble, who's there.
Thanks, Victoria. I'm on the edge of Westminster Bridge, where there are fire engines, police cars and ambulances on the bridge. The entire thing has been completely closed off. A police cordon's in place. I did speak to one witness who said he saw a 4x4 around 20 minutes ago plough into a group of bystanders who he said went flying. He didn't know if it was an accident or something more serious, but there are helicopters above me and I'm looking at dozens and dozens of emergency personnel who are trying to deal with a breaking scene here. Bystanders are in complete shock. No one knows what to do. I will keep you updated in further bulletins.
Thanks, Alex. Two people have been seen lying on the ground within the Old Palace Yard. Staff inside Parliament have been told to stay inside their offices. Kevin Schofield works nearby.
Someone rushed through that, got through the security gates and assaulted a policeman. I saw the policeman go down. Then another policeman sort of come to his aid, and that's when the guy got up and he seemed to have a knife in his hand. And that was when we had gunfire.
We'll keep bringing you updates on this breaking story here on Talk Radio. In other news, EasyJet has become the first airline to introduce a ban on laptops and tablets on some UK-bound flights. It says passengers will have to pack them into their hold luggage on services from Egypt and Turkey. The government's new restrictions on electronic devices affect six countries and must be introduced by Saturday. And Thames Water has been handed a £20 million fine for letting 1.4 billion litres of raw sewage flow into the River Thames. Fish, birds and farm animals were killed by the pollution in 2013 and 14.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Wet for many this afternoon with outbreaks of rain and some hill snow for parts of the north, but brighter in the far north and east. Highs of 9 degrees.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Now, we're going to drop our usual programming for the next hour on Talk Radio so we can cover this live breaking story as it happens. Sam Delaney will be with you from four, but for the next hour, we will be talking you through this and bringing you information. Victoria will be back every 15 minutes to keep us updated as well, and we'll be talking to people as we go along, including Alex Dibble, who's down there for Talk Radio at the scene. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, it's Talk Radio. I am John Holmes, and as I say, we're suspending our normal programming for the next hour due to this breaking news, the firearms incident near Parliament. Victoria bringing you a lot of the details there, and we will continue to keep you updated as it continues to unfold, which it is doing. On the telephone now is a London cabbie. He's called Charlie. He's on the phone. Hello, Charlie.
Hi there.
Thanks for talking to us. Well, I know you were down there at the time. What did you see, Charlie? Tell us what happened.
Well, I was just driving into Parliament Square, coming from sort of the Buckingham Palace end, and just hitting the traffic, and I just heard two gunshots, and then a lot of people, like police officers, running into Parliament itself, and a lot of people running away from there, normal civilian people. And as I was crossing the bridge, I saw a car that had smashed into sort of like the gate area or the fence, and it come off of Westminster Bridge,
yeah,
and careered into the walls there. And as it was going through, there was two people down looking pretty badly injured. There was a lot of blood about, and the car had, you know, obviously imploded, the airbags and things like that. And it was just a normal civilian car, that was.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. But there was a lot of activity going on inside Parliament, sort of like the green area.
Okay, so this this is opposite Parliament Green itself, where the main gates that you can go into?
Yeah, it's the main Houses of Commons. Yeah, it's the old main gates going into the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the green there, where they used to protest, it's that bit there, that bit bang opposite.
Yeah,
As you come at the Westminster.
There's ordinarily quite a heavy police presence there anyway, for obvious security reasons. So, I mean, were there a lot of... I mean, what sort of numbers are we talking that were around at the time?
What, police?
In terms of, because obviously there's all the gates are always, seemingly very well defended, aren't they, or protected?
Yeah, you usually have a couple of two police officers at the front, and you usually have two or three down a bit further down to let all the cars in and out.
Yeah.
But seeing from where I'm sitting, those police officers have obviously gone into the Parliament, and then police just appearing from everywhere. I mean, with guns and everything, you know, it was it was kicking off pretty badly.
Yeah. And how long ago were we talking since you saw this, Charlie?
I suppose it used to be about 15, 20 minutes.
15, 20 minutes, which is when we first started to hear about it. And in terms of where you at the time, were you, did you get held up at all? Were you able to move away from the scene, given that it was so dangerous?
Well, I think it's happening so fast. It was just alive, and we just carried on as normal.
Yeah.
We were just carrying on through the lights and just going across. I mean, the traffic's pretty deep anyway today. Traffic in London is actually horrendous.
Yep.
So you're moving at a very slow pace. So everything was just happening normally, but now we're all just gridlocked, just sitting around doing pretty much nothing.
Yeah, in terms of where they've cordoned off the roads, I mean, how wide area are we talking, Charlie?
I'm not too sure now, because I'm off of Parliament Square.
Yep.
I'm actually on Victoria Embankment, but all around, everywhere's just stuck. Everywhere's just sitting there doing nothing now.
Yeah, all right.
All of Parliament Square is shut down. It's just complete lockdown, and they've pushed everyone off of the square.
Yeah, and just recap for us what you saw, Charlie. Just give us that again.
Well, I just heard two gunshots.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, what the hell is that? And then just saw, I looked towards Parliament Square, because it's matching gunshots, Parliament Square. Saw the police officers running into the square, into Parliament itself. And then as we crossed the bridge, we'd seen this car come off the bridge and gone into sort of the fence there, into the wall. And there was two people down it laying badly injured.
Charlie, listen, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Charlie, London cabbie, was witness to what happened in Parliament Square. If you're just joining us, there is a security incident at Westminster, a firearms incident, according to the police. on Westminster Bridge. And as we've just been hearing from Charlie there, who was on the scene, this was happening around the gates of Parliament, which ordinarily, of course, are quite well protected. A car appears to be involved. One person shot, one officer injured is what we're hearing. Alex Dibble is down at the scene for Talk Radio. Alex, are you there?
Hi, John. Yeah, I'm here on the south side of Westminster Bridge, and I've just been speaking to a witness who said that he came up onto the bridge about 25 minutes ago, and one of the postcard stands, one of the tourist postcard stands, had been completely flipped over. There were postcards, he said, all over the floor. There were two women, he said, on the floor, one with a head wound, and they were on the pavement. Now, what he thinks happened is that this car that I mentioned to you during the news bulletin veered onto the pavement, he said, deliberately to injure bystanders, and has then continued across the bridge to the north side, where it smashed into the gates of the House of Commons. The Commons leader, David Lidington, has told MPs that a police officer has been stabbed and that the assailant was then shot by armed police. As I said, this is a huge incident. The number of police cars, I couldn't even count you here. Sirens, as you can probably hear behind me. Yeah. And paramedics and ambulance staff continue to break the cordon, to go in and help the people who are clearly in dire straits about 50 yards from me.
Right, and in terms of what we've just been talking to a London cabby who said that he heard two gunshots. So is that does that tally with what you've been hearing?
I think it does, yes. What it seems, piecing the bits of information that we have at this stage together, it seems that this vehicle has driven from the south side to the north side, and then perhaps one or more of the people inside that vehicle has then got out and has been the one to fire the shots. That is not confirmed at this stage. There's another group of huge group, must be 10 or so emergency personnel that walk past me. Frontline oxygen is the tag on the bag, on the backpack of the man that's just walked past me towards the scene. But it seems like, as I say, unconfirmed at the moment, that that's what happened in regards to this vehicle and then the gunshots later on.
So what we know so far then is that a vehicle was involved. This appeared to have been driven deliberately onto the pavement. And the occupants of the vehicle then are involved in this incident. That's kind of what we're understanding.
We believe at this stage that's the case, yes. And but exactly how those two events are connected, we don't know at this point.
Yeah, we are hearing that there may have been a stabbing, as you said, Alex, a stabbing of a police officer, then one of the assailants, an assailant, we don't know how many, were involved, but certainly shot by police. Alex, whereabouts are you? How close did you get to the scene? Where have they cordoned it off?
Well, when I got here, the cordon was slightly closer to the actual incident. So now they've moved the cordon back. They've had people shepherding members of the public back to try and create an even bigger police cordon. So I'm standing as close as I possibly can to the police tape, looking from the south side of the bridge towards Big Ben over the river. There are London buses stationary on Westminster Bridge,
yep,
as about five or six ambulances and, as I said, dozens of police cars with their sirens still on next to them. You can see people in high visibility jackets. They're the paramedics and the emergency services, but then there are also members of the public looking really concerned and distressed at the point on the pavement at which this vehicle is said to have ploughed into pedestrians.
Yeah, and we are getting other breaking news as it comes in as well. You've mentioned Commons leader David Lidington, of course, telling MPs that a police officer has been stabbed, that's a quote from him, and the alleged assailant shot by armed police. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes, suspending normal programming to continue with coverage of this breaking firearms incident near Parliament. That was Alex Dibble on the scene. So what we know so far is that a car was seemingly driven deliberately onto the pavement, injuring some people. We know that an occupant of the car then got out. We think that occupant was involved then in a scene with a police officer, which we think is a stabbing. We then know one assailant has been shot by armed police. We will be keeping you up to date, of course, throughout the afternoon here on Talk Radio and talking to people involved in the incident and certainly people down there on the scene as we go along. Talk Radio in the afternoon. So I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Do you dream of being part of a more exciting fleet?
Where to, mate?
Spending your spare time with an interesting new crew. If you've got ambitions that go beyond the everyday, listen to the Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio and learn more about serving in the Royal Navy Reserve. Develop new skills, expand your horizons, and experience challenges and opportunities you won't find in your day job. The Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Don't do the everyday every day. Search Royal Navy Reserve.
Introducing Domino's new walk-in wins. Buy one, get one free. Any size pizza at any time when you pop in store. And with click and collect, your order's raring to go when you arrive. Two delicious Domino's pizzas for the price of one with new walk-in wins. So just strut in, save time and bog off. Participating stores subject to availability. See dominoes.co.uk.
Got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade-quality building products. In March, we've got 65mm Class B engineering bricks for only 25 pence each ex-vat. Now that's a real deal. See selcobw.com for even more real deals and to find your nearest branch.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
All right, Steve.
Devastated. She's gone. And I'm lost without her. We've been together years.
Yeah, but...
You come to rely on them.
You'll find another one, mate. Between you and me, I always thought she was a bit butch.
Hey, I'm talking about my old van.
I thought you meant Verity.
Me wife. Butch.
Oh, well. Either way, you can pick something up with a few less miles on the clock.
At Van Monster, every van is covered by our price match promise, our unique 5-day money-back guarantee, and includes a 6-month warranty. Terms and conditions apply. Find your perfect work partner at vanmonster.com.
eBay has every kind of car part for everyone from beginners to the real experts.
Well, that just stopped them squeaking.
Brake pads.
And that's the engine sorted.
Motor oil.
And that's the handling taken care of.
Alloys and tyres.
And that means I've saved myself a few quid.
12-foot snooker table for the spare room. Shop eBay's unbeatable selection of car parts and accessories. The ultimate fix the car like a hero shop.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
It's still looking busy in Surrey on the M23 after earlier problems south near Getwick Airport, and there was also a problem on the southbound M3 near Junction 3 for Lightwater, which has been sorted, but I'm afraid there's still some delays. North of Bristol through Patchway, the outbound side of the A38 Gloucester Road is heavy. A section of it's closed near to Gypsy Patch Lane because of a burst water main. Slow for the northbound M1 as you head away from the M25 at Junction 6A because of an accident, and still queuing for the M6 and the M5 in the West Midlands after earlier problems on the northbound M6 near Junction 8. I'm Joanna Adams.
Your business is growing. Fantastic. But you need to hire fast. Enter Indeed.com. Already used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. And with more people in the UK using Indeed than any other job site, you'll find more great candidates and sooner on Indeed. Find your next hire on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. Terms, conditions, quality standards and usage limits apply. World's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Victoria's got the news. We're going to be bringing you news every 15 minutes or so with Victoria and, of course, keeping you up to date. We're suspending normal programming here on Talk Radio for the duration while we bring you up to date with the firearms incident near Parliament. Here's Victoria.
Thanks, John. So Parliament is on lockdown after gunshots were heard. So Scotland Yard have confirmed it is dealing with a major incident and the area has been evacuated. The leader of the House of Commons, David Lidington, has made this statement.
It seems that a police officer has been stabbed. That the alleged assailant was shot by armed police. An ambulance is currently attending the scene to remove the casualties.
A number of other people are thought to have been injured by a vehicle on nearby Westminster Bridge. This man has told Talk Radio what he saw.
I just saw a 4x4 drive into people and they just went flying in the air.
How many injured people were there?
I don't know, I only saw about four. But he might have run over other people further up.
A Downing Street source has declined to say where Theresa May had been during the attack, but says she was not involved. We'll keep you updated on this breaking story here on Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, Victoria. And she's right, we will. Alex Dibble as well is our reporter down at the scene. We'll be talking to him as we go along. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons, and we are keeping you up to date on this Westminster security incident.
Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
I'm John Holmes. We are suspending normal programming this afternoon due to this breaking news. Reports of several people injured. You've just been hearing there, of course, from David Liddington, the Commons leader, about what has been going on. Air ambulance on site removing casualties. We don't quite know how many casualties. Let's talk now to John O'Connor. John O'Connor is an ex-Met police commander. Hello, John. Hi, John. Can you hear me?
John.
Hello there. Thanks for talking to us this afternoon. So you are an ex-Met Police commander. What's from your point of view is exactly what's going on now? What are the police having to deal with here?
Well, I would imagine that there'll be a senior officer who's going to be in charge of the whole operation. I'm actually very, very impressed with how quick the emergency services have responded and how quickly, particularly the police, have got so much manpower that has turned up and I think are doing a brilliant job. You know, this is the kind of it looks to me like it's one of these lone wolf terrorist incidents. I mean, that can't be confirmed yet, but it certainly looks that way to me. And I think the response of the emergency services has been fantastic. I mean, it just shows how much on the alert they are and how they've got contingency plans for practically any likely incident that's going to occur.
I was going to say,
it seems like yet another a minor incident in terms of major terrorist events, but again another futile attempt to try and disrupt the people of London. But I think the response has been really outstanding.
Yeah, indeed. It seemed to take no time at all from when we first heard about what was going on to knowing there was a cordon, knowing that they'd shut roads down, knowing that even an air ambulance was getting in on site. And that really did seem to take a matter of minutes. I mean, are the police at the moment, John, in your esteemed experience, are going to be on high alert? We've certainly seen more armed police around stations and around London itself in the last few days. Was this something they were expecting, perhaps?
Not necessarily. I know there was a major planning operation going on the Thames a couple of days back where they were planning for a potential terrorist event. But that was a training exercise. No, I think they're always on the alert. I think we are in a position now where this type of attack is being expected all of the time. We've seen it all over Europe. I mean, this is nothing new. And I think this is probably the precursor to other attacks, because apart from the fact that it requires very little planning by the perpetrator, it requires very little use of materials. All he needs is a vehicle and a knife, and you know, he causes this kind of mayhem. This seems to be the tactic that the potential terrorists are using today, and it can happen at any place, any time. There is a pattern normally of repeat attacks in places that have been attacked before, and I've no doubt that those places are going to be high on any priority list. But I think at the moment, you know, it's highly volatile, and I would think, you know, further attacks are potentially likely to occur. It's the sort of thing that I think Londoners and the police in London and the emergency services have grown to expect and have learnt how to deal with.
And how do you, I mean, staying with your sort of train of thought there, and as I say, and you rightly say, we don't know the fact yet, but what we know so far points towards one of these lone wolf incidents. How on earth are you supposed to police against that kind of thing?
I think it's virtually impossible to police against it, to anticipate it. I think all you can do is make sure that you've got enough trained officers, you've got enough firearms officers, you've got enough backup, and you've got enough contingency plans to deal with any potential incident, and that's all that you can do. You know, it's a whole different ball game to a conspiracy involving a number of people who maybe are trying to make improvised explosive devices to try and attack somewhere specific, where you've got here an incident that anybody with little preparation could carry out. I mean, just drive a car on a bridge and aim at people. That causes enough mayhem. Then try and escape the scene, and it's reminiscent of many other of these type of incidents. It requires little planning. If there's little planning, there's little communication. There's little for the police to intercept. There's little for police informants or contacts or witnesses to inform the police of something of an attack that's likely to occur. So, you know, the wires are quiet, and it's the initiative is with the person who intends to carry out this type of attack. This seems to be the strategy that these people are using at the moment.
And it's very difficult, isn't it? Because the strategy is more of a broad sort of call to arms. If indeed this turns out to be, you know, an ISIS-related incident, so we stress we don't know what it is exactly yet, but it's one of those things where these lone wolves sort of align themselves with that ideology, but it's not like they're taking direct orders or organising it.
If you haven't got a direct chain of command, and you haven't got the kind of organisation that's required for what we're used to in dealing with terrorist incidents, then, you know, you've just got to deal with it as it occurs. I mean, the murder of Lee Rigby, looked almost like a spontaneous thing with two guys who were clearly highly motivated, were clearly acting as they believed in the interests of jihadists. But the bottom line of it is, how do you intercept that? Mm. Unless you've got them on the radar and you're keeping surveillance on them at that time, then it's virtually impossible to anticipate it, because it's other people aren't involved, and if there's no involvement of other people, there's no conspiracy, there's no communication, there's no command and control. This is just somebody who decides to go and commit an act like this, which causes as much damage and mayhem as possible.
And in your experience, what happens now? How long could we see the centre of London sealed off for?
That's difficult to say. It depends on whether any further intelligence has come out of what's already happened, and the decision's going to be made on the likelihood of another attack. So until information comes forward that indicates that something else is going to happen, then I really don't think the police are in a position to change their attitude and keep their presence very, very visible. And again, you know, it causes massive inconvenience to people, but that's a secondary consideration to trying to save the lives of people that have been injured.
John, thank you very much indeed. That's John O'Connor, ex-police commander, talking to us there about this serious firearms incident near Parliament. You're listening to Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes. We've suspended ordinary programming to continue to bring you the details of what's happened. Victoria will be here with the very latest shortly. On the line now, Mike Yardley. He's a military expert. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Now, what, from your point of view, as a military expert, this is the kind of attack we haven't seen, perhaps, on British mainland for quite some time?
Well, let's just have a look at what we know. AP is saying that the Leader of the Commons has said that the perpetrator was shot by the police. We're dealing with a situation here where, of course, this is one of the most high-profile targets in the country, and where there is, you know, had been anticipation of a possible terrorist attack. Of course, there have been attacks at the House of Commons previously, yeah. And the Met Police are well up to speed for dealing with these sort of incidents, and this was apparently successfully resolved, although unfortunately an officer was shot. And those guys who are on the sharp end, on the point, are always going to take a risk, because that is probably the point where the risk is greatest. But meantime, the Met are increasing their number of firearms officers. They're putting it up by 600. We live in a country where the police are not routinely armed, but I would guess of something over 30,000 Met officers, probably something like 3,000 are firearms trained at the moment. And I think we should see this maybe as a success story, that it has been successfully contained. What I would say from the intelligence that we've got so far is that the combination of a shooting attack and possibly some sort of vehicle attack on the bridge, although the details are far from clear, does suggest a radical Islamic modus operandi. It's the sort of thing that we've been seeing, of course, on continental Europe, and which we've all been fearing might happen in the UK.
Was it only a matter of time, Mike, in truth? Because as we were just talking to John O'Connor there, former Met Police Commander, and he was making the very good point that these things are impossible to police against if it turns out to be a lone wolf attack like the European ones you're talking about. You can't stop that very easily because there's no chatter on the sort of terrorist networks.
Well, without contradicting Mr. O'Connor, because he's obviously got tremendous experience in this area, I don't think we should take the view that you cannot, you know, prepare for these incidents. And, of course, if you look at the security at the Houses of Parliament, I mean, it is intense, not least because they're previously. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Erin Eve was blown up and all of that sort of stuff going on, all the IRA attacks.
Yes.
So I do think an awful lot of effort has been gone into preparing for these sort of attacks. What is particularly difficult, I don't want to actually give too much information away in what I'm going to say to you, but I think in some ways we're lucky that this attack has taken place where we're ready to meet it.
In terms of just the background and the training and the fact that we have to expect this kind of stuff, is that what you mean?
And people are on alert. There is a severe terrorist threat at the moment. And people, particularly those officers involved in these sort of specialist duties at the House of Commons, at Parliament, they are well aware of the risk. And it seems that they have reacted. And indeed, you know, we can look across the water, across the channel to France, and see that, again, there have been successful attempts or successful operations by the police stopping terrorist incidents that were in progress.
Okay.
I think there are some positives in what is a pretty grim situation. But I think the point that's going to be of most interest to the listeners, I suspect, is this. And that is, when you combine the fact that there may have been a shooting incident with a vehicle attack, that does look like the radical Islamic signature.
Indeed. Mike, thank you for joining us. Mike Yardley, military expert there, talking to us. 3:30, you're listening to Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes. We've suspended ordinary programming for your afternoon to bring you live coverage of this breaking news story. Firearms incident near Parliament. We know of people injured, a car involved certainly, also a stabbing of a police officer, or the possible stabbing of a police officer, but the car injuring pedestrians on Westminster Bridge. With the very latest now on Talk Radio, here's Victoria with the news.
Talk Radio.
Police are responding to a major firearms incident near the Houses of Parliament. MPs have been told a police officer was stabbed before an assailant was shot. Charlie is a taxi driver who saw what happened.
Just heard two gunshots, and then a lot of people, police officers running into Parliament itself, and a lot of people running away from there, normal civilian people. And as I was crossing the bridge, I saw a car that had come off of Westminster Bridge and careered into the walls there.
Air ambulance are at the scene. Witnesses have told already they've seen two people receiving medical attention.
There was a woman with a head wound, and then there was another person lying on their side, and they seemed to be seriously hurt. They were on the pavement, which suggests to me they were hit on the pavement, which means the car must have deliberately swerved to hit them.
The Prime Minister was escorted from the building for her own safety. Parliament has been suspended and put into lockdown. We'll keep you updated on this breaking story here on Talk Radio.
Thank you very much. Victoria with you every 15 minutes or so on Talk Radio, as she said, keeping us updated. So the headlines there, Parliament and Downing Street both in lockdown. We know an attacker has been shot by police. This is a man who reportedly stabbed a police officer, having possibly driven the vehicle, which we're hearing is a 4x4, into a crowd, deliberately veering the car off the road at Westminster Bridge there, knocking over one of the souvenir stalls. That is what we know. We'll continue to bring you up to date. We'll talk to Alex Dibble in a moment, who's down there at the scene.
Delaney, live at Drive.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio.
Join me today when I will have top journalist Paul Hawkins doing today's trending review, the author of a new book called The Raqqa Diaries, Escape from Islamic State, and our very own girl about town, Olivia Foster.
Stop, look, listen to Sam Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio.
What do you want, a handwritten invite?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So if you're just joining us, it's Talk Radio. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. We are bringing you the breaking news of a Westminster security incident. There are armed police officers inside the Palace of Westminster. Parliament and Downing Street in lockdown. The Prime Minister, Theresa May, has been escorted out of the building for, and I quote, her own safety. What we know so far, we know there was a potentially deliberate attack with a vehicle, very much mirroring those ones that we saw in Europe in recent months. What we are learning is that a 4x4 may have deliberately left the road and run into some people. The occupant of that 4x4, we think, may have tried to get into Parliament, stabbing a police officer, but was shot by police officers. Obviously, this is unfolding as we go. We're suspending normal programming. On the phone now is Dr. Evan Lawrence, who is a security terrorism expert. Good afternoon, Dr. Evan Lawrence.
Good morning.
How are you? it's certainly afternoon here. Security terrorism expert, what can you tell us about this kind of incident, Dr. Evan?
Well, I think that, you know, these kind of things, we often jump to conclusions with them. Now, that those conclusions in this case may be very true, or it may turn out to be something completely different. We're not entirely sure at this point. And I think it's, you know, obviously a very serious incident, or two incidents, and we're just kind of now, the information is starting to filter out, and I think it won't be really until tomorrow, probably, until we really have a good picture of what's going on and if they're linked and how they're linked, and the security services and things will be working really hard to make sure all of that information is analyzed and used effectively.
It's hard not to jump to conclusions when things like this happen, though, isn't it? That's the problem with it, because we're now so used to this kind of event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's part of human nature. But, you know, whether this is terrorism, first of all, we don't know. Whether this is, you know, someone who perhaps has a mental problem, there's any number of things that could be happening, and we just don't know yet.
In your experience, though, I mean, we were hearing there from somebody before the news, Mike Yardley, who's also a commenter on incidents like this, about how well the police responded. In your experience, do you think this, because we literally, I mean, 7 minutes before 3 o'clock, we first started hearing about this, and we cut to the breaking news, but already this whole scenario had swung into place where things had been cordoned off and the police were on the scene, there were helicopters, etc., etc. It seemed a very quick turnaround.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is, you know, it shows what a difficult job our security services have, but really what a good job they do. You know, of course, it's a very high profile location. So with everything that's happened in the past year in Nice and in Belgium and things like that, the police in these locations and high profile areas will have started taking that into account and, you know, making plans and setting up, you know, communications networks and things like that, so that if something like this would happen, they know what to do as well. So I think that, you know, it really shows that they are actually doing their job, and they're doing it fairly well.
Yeah, just stay with us, if you would. There's a statement from the Met Police that we're just getting. People are being asked by police to avoid the following.
Across the UK.
Following areas: Parliament Square, Whitehall, Westminster Bridge, Lambeth Bridge, Victoria Street. That's up to the junction with Broadway and the Victoria Embankment up to Embankment Tube. This is to allow, of course, the emergency services to deal with the ongoing incident. Officers, including firearms officers, remain on the scene. This is being treated as a terrorist incident until they know otherwise. Which makes sense, doesn't it, Dr. Evan? How else are you supposed to treat something like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you have to treat it as if it were the most serious thing that could possibly happen. They'll certainly be doing sweeps and making sure that everyone is out of the area and anyone that doesn't need to be there is not there. So that, one, they can collect evidence, so they can, you know, deal with the issues of what's going on. All of these kind of things will be on their minds, that it's a major investigation that'll be, you know, just really at the infancy of what's going on. And, you know, there'll be a lot of work to go on after that. But I think that that's pretty standard procedure, that they block off roads and things like that, to allow the police operations to occur uninhibited.
Yeah. And do you think, given what we do know from the similar, what seem to be the similar attacks in Europe, that the training that they must undergo for this kind of attack is fairly intense, isn't it? I would imagine, because they are preparing for any number of scenarios in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen kind of how they're doing some preparations for things, just the events that were held at the Trafford Centre in Manchester last year, where they were, you know, preparing for these kind of shooting events, things like that. But also since Nice and Brussels, they'll be kind of thinking about how you secure those buildings. And luckily, Parliament is one of those buildings that has quite a bit of, you know, hardened security around it, making it very difficult for cars and things like that to get close to the building.
Begs the question, though, does it not, when we hear about things like this, you're absolutely right in what you say, is there's got to be a fine balance. If you are, and we must stress, we don't know yet, as you said, what exactly this attack is, but if it is looking like a terror attack in London, what is the point, in many ways, of going for a building or an area around a building that's so heavily guarded? Is it simply because you know it's going to cause maximum disruption and get the headline? Because you're not going to achieve much, are you? Because already that is an entirely protected building. You know there are armed police officers around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously we have lots of issues at the moment with kind of lone actors and things like that, who may not necessarily have the, you know, the full picture of what the security services do and what kind of security measures would be in place at a building like that. Obviously, there's also the possibility that it, you know, is to cause disruption and fear. But it also may just be because that is a popular tourist destination. And, you know, everyone wants to go and see Westminster Bridge and the Parliament and things like that. So it is a very high profile area. So even if an attack isn't going to, you know, do much in the way of physical damage, certainly having, you know, this time of day, the start of rush hour, things like that, and having, you know, all of London now, for the most part, being, you know, really shut down, and central London, you know, being gridlocked with travel and things like that. I think that has a message that's just as strong as if, you know, something else had happened.
Okay. Dr. Evan Lawrence, thank you for joining us. Security terrorism expert there. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Talk Radio in the Afternoons. I'm John Holmes. We're suspending normal programming due to the Westminster terror incident. The breaking news, Parliament and Downing Street both in lockdown. We know of an attack on Westminster Bridge involving a car. It appears to be a grey 4x4 style car. We know that some people have been injured on the bridge in the area around one of the stalls there that sell the souvenirs and the postcards. We know that an attacker got out. We spoke to Charlie earlier. He's a cabbie, saw the whole thing. That someone got out of the car and ran to attack a police officer within the gates of the Houses of Parliament. He saw a police officer go down, he told us, and then heard up to 4 gunshots. We now know that the attacker has been shot by police. That is what we know. Let's talk to Eric Moonman. He's a professor and specialist in terrorism, former Labour MP. Hello, Eric.
Hello, indeed.
Hello. So what are we to make of it? It's hard to call, as we know, when something like this happens. Obviously, it's our job to keep people up to date. But there's an initial burst of activity, it becomes very slow moving as everyone tries to piece everything together.
I think that's right. Well, I think it provides basically what a warning. I mean, what the terrorists are likely to achieve is a warning and to create confusion. But I think it's something else as well. And in the way in which their minds operate, and with the growing tension at the moment throughout the world, as you know, the references to Al-Qaeda this morning, it's what we call a tester. It provides limited resources. It doesn't mean that they have to do enormous amount of planning, even if they're capable of planning, but it's not giving much away. I know that one thinks about this as a very busy area. I was there yesterday, and it was not that busy. I think that it's nothing like what it would be if it was in the middle of summer, when you really have enormous crowds of people. So I don't think the intention was to take out a large number of civilians. I think it's much more likely to give a warning, and of course, to that extent, it's to see how the authorities respond.
But doesn't that indicate, though, that, I mean, in the very notion of a lone wolf attacker, as we've heard from previous incidents, it's almost like there is no direct chain of command up towards, you know, the head of ISIS or whatever it might be. It is these people just adopting the ideology. And in terms of a warning, that would suggest that it's more organised than perhaps we're led to believe.
Yeah, well, I think what it is there are a number of cells that operate, and they operate certainly in London and throughout the country. We know that's on record. But the point is that they can act separately, there can be some link, and there is often communication. And the advantage about the cells doing this sort of work is that it's very difficult then for the authorities to try and get into and find out what's happening, because there is a closed book in terms of each of the items. Look, it's a warning. That's what they really wanted to do. The overall picture would be a warning that terrorism is not only about the damage and the killings, but it's also about giving notice of intentions. It's a psychological warfare, and I think that this is something we may have to live with for a long time ahead.
And in terms of, you say a warning, I mean, is that, clarify that, because does that mean it's a warning towards another incident that's coming that could be more damaging? What's...
I'm afraid it is, yes. I think all the evidence suggests that these things are not in isolation, and I repeat what I said, it's not just that it has to get the authority of a command or a chief executive. If they, because look, this was awful and it was deadly, but at the same time, it doesn't affect the total picture of what they really would like to do, what they've done in other countries, and that is to do total damage. And when people are not aware and not anticipating this, but at the same time, they've got to recognise that we also learn from it. So both sides learn. And that's why I say that terrorism and the confrontation of terrorism is a terrible, terrifying game.
Why an attack on Parliament? Because we were just talking about this. And in Europe, of course, the attacks were in very populated areas, so in Nice, in Berlin, at the Christmas market. This isn't like that, if indeed it turns out to be a similar incident. We don't know yet. We should clarify that. We're still waiting to hear exactly what's going on. But if it is an attack like that, there are places you could attack to cause more casualties than somewhere that's utterly heavily defended.
Well, I think that's right, but I don't think, I'm saying, this didn't have that degree of planning about it, in my estimation, and therefore it's not necessarily going to kill as many people as possible or to damage and do the injury. It's the most serious thing about terrorism. It is a painful and terrible reminder of what they can do, and I think, therefore, that it didn't have an awful lot of people. If they attempted to do this in midsummer, it would have been much, much more serious if they were after people. But the fact that they haven't tried to get at the gates of a parliament in Europe before, as they have done today, doesn't mean that this was something quite that they haven't thought about it in other tensions. They know that this what happened in Paris was very much affecting the Jewish community, about affecting the young people in the dance hall. Britain they see as something which pays a lot of allegiance to the way in which Parliament operates. And we're asking, in a way, your listeners to try and understand something which it confuses a lot of people who've been specialists in this field for years. But fortunately, and I repeat this, it's not a one-way learning process. They learn, but so do we.
All right, thank you very much indeed. Eric Moonman, Professor and Specialist in Terrorism, former Labour MP. If you're just joining us, there has been a firearms incident near Parliament. This is Talk Radio. We have broken off usual programming to cover this for you this afternoon. Victoria's here with the latest. She's got the latest news now.
Talk Radio.
Both Parliament and Downing Street are in lockdown in what police are treating as a terrorist incident. One officer has been stabbed and a man shot in the grounds of the Palace of Westminster. Witnesses have described seeing a middle-aged man carrying a knife and running. Several others are being treated on Westminster Bridge after a car mounted the pavement. Richard Tice was there when it began.
My understanding from someone next to me was that a car or vehicle had driven along the whole pavement, knocking people over, and that's why there were many people laying on the ground starting to be attended to by paramedics. But literally from north to south, the whole length of the bridge, there were people on the ground.
A Downing Street source has confirmed that Prime Minister Theresa May is OK. Military expert Mike Yardley has told Talk Radio officers are well trained to stop attacks.
You know, we can look across the water, across the channel to France, and see that, again, there have been successful operations by the police stopping terrorist incidents that were in progress. But I think the point that's going to be of most interest to the listeners, I suspect, is this. And that is, when you combine the fact that there may have been a shooting incident with a vehicle attack, that does look like the radicalism. Signature.
We'll have updates every 15 minutes on this breaking news story.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Victoria, they're bringing you the latest on this firearms incident near Parliament. This is Talk Radio. We've broken off ordinary programming to bring you rolling coverage of what we know. We'll be talking to Alex Dibble in a moment, who's down at the scene.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Before we talk to Alex, though, he has been talking to witnesses on the streets around and about this in the area, which is, of course, the Westminster Bridge area of London, the Parliament Green side of it, as far as we know. What we do know so far, there are pictures of a grey car, which could be a 4x4 looking car. There are images now of bloodstained people lying on the floor. We don't know the number of casualties. We do know that a police officer was stabbed and then the assailant was shot. All of these incidents, of course, appear to be connected. Lots of information still coming in. We'll bring it to you as we get it. As I say, Alex Dibble has been talking to people near the scene. Let's find out what they've been saying.
Yeah, we was in a restaurant right around the corner and the bottom of the London Eye. And we was eating there, and suddenly they closed the whole building. Talk to us that we should go out, and we went out, and we saw all this police everywhere, and ships and helicopters and police and everything. And there was one from the London Eye, a guy who came down. He said he saw four people laying on the bridge over there. And we just went over this bridge and went into the restaurant. So we have just been there.
Wow. Okay.
A little bit scary.
I imagine it was pretty chaotic at the time.
Yeah, it was chaotic. Yeah, when we went out, everything, all people was running around, and it was chaos. So.
People down at the scene that Alex Dibble was talking to. This is Westminster Bridge. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. We've broken off normal programming to bring you continuing coverage of this Westminster terror incident. Alex Dibble is down there for Talk Radio. Alex, what's the latest you're getting?
Hi, John. Well, I'm standing slightly closer to the scene now. I've managed to edge slightly further along the bridge. And what has just happened is that an ambulance has sped away. A trolley was gently wheeled from the spot on the bridge where we believe a vehicle has ploughed into pedestrians, a trolley with what looked like a body on it. It was draped in a blue towel, was wheeled over into an ambulance, and that ambulance has just a moment ago sped away from the bridge. The spot on the pavement where people were lying before has now been cleared, and there are plenty more ambulances still just moments away on the bridge.
Okay, and in terms of the roads, obviously still cordoned off and will be for the foreseeable future, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't gonna end anytime soon. What is worth saying is that the Westminster Bridge is right next to St Thomas's Hospital, and I'm standing next to two trolleys. In fact, I'm touching the towels now, light blue towels that have been wheeled over from the hospital to help anyone who is on the bridge. But at this stage, we just don't know how many bodies are there and whether they are sadly people have passed away or whether they're still fighting for their lives in hospital. Either they've been wheeled straight into the building next to me or they've been taken by ambulance somewhere else. Just don't know. Although I did see a woman who was just a member of the public who was at the scene inside the cordon, looked like she was helping the police attend to the people who'd been hit. She came through the cordon in tears. Someone from the media tried to ask her what she'd seen, but she just ran straight past us and ran away. Clearly, you know, whatever has happened here, we know it's serious, but people being affected in incredibly serious ways.
And in terms of the people you have been talking to, I mean, we were hearing just before Victoria brought us the latest in the news there about the Parliament, the area around Parliament, perhaps not being as widely populated by tourists at this time of year as it might have been. In terms of the people you've been talking to, Alex, has it been a mixture of tourists and Londoners?
Yes, I mean, the guy we just played a moment ago, he was from Denmark. He was actually here with his two daughters, very, very young. One, he said, was just too young to even begin to comprehend what had happened, but the other one was clutching her father's leg, like, for dear life, even as I was speaking to him, and that was 20 minutes after this incident happened. So there have been tourists here, there are still tourists here. The majority of people I've spoken to have been British people who told me that the postcard stand on the bridge was just knocked over as this vehicle careered through and then into pedestrians. And the latest we know from the Metropolitan Police, they've issued a statement in the last 20 minutes or so saying that they are treating this as a terrorist incident until they know otherwise.
Yes, we're also getting that police are asking people to avoid the following areas. This is a statement from the Met: Parliament Square, Whitehall, Westminster Bridge, Lambeth Bridge, Victoria Street up to the junction with Broadway, and Victoria Embankment up to Embankment Tube. Of course, this is to allow the emergency services to deal with the ongoing incident. In terms of what you can see now, Alex, you know, we know there are a number of ambulances, as you said, on the scene, police cars still with sirens going, blue flashing lights. I mean, are we getting any sense that this incident is over, or do you think they are now beginning to widen the search for anyone else who might have been involved?
The incident, in terms of if this is a terrorist incident, the incident itself is over. Just as I speak to you now, an ambulance trolley is being lifted from the back of an ambulance. If you know that sort of forklift truck style platform that comes out at the back of an ambulance, yeah. A trolley is on that and has just been lifted up and gently pushed into the back of the ambulance. I expect that vehicle now to turn its sirens on in a moment and speed away. But yes, the incident itself is over, but the number of emergency services here will spread far and wide, even on the north side of the bridge where I'm not, as emergency personnel continue to respond.
All right, Alex Dibble there for Talk Radio down at the scene. Let's recap. A terror incident near Parliament. A policeman has been stabbed, his attacker shot by officers after this major terrorist incident just outside the Houses of Parliament in London. The attacker mowed down several pedestrians. We know the kind of car now is a grey Hyundai, driven across Westminster Bridge before crashing into railings, then running through the gates of the palace. The assailant got out of the car, ran through the gates of the Palace of Westminster, stabbed an officer. Eyewitnesses said he was shot by police as he approached a second officer clutching the knife that he used to stab the first police officer. He left a trail of destruction. Paramedics tending to victims on the bridge and at the gate. Prime Minister Theresa May was seen being ushered into a silver Jaguar in the grounds of the palace as what sounded like gunfire rang out. This is around 2:45 p.m. as we were on air, of course, when we broke off from ordinary programming to bring you this rolling coverage of a terror incident near Parliament. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. We spoke earlier to Charlie. He's a London cabbie. This is what he told us. What did you see, Charlie? Tell us what happened.
Well, I was just driving into Parliament Square, coming from sort of the Buckingham Palace end, and just hitting the traffic, and I just heard two gunshots. And then a lot of people, police officers running into Parliament itself, and a lot of people running away from there, normal civilian people. And as I was crossing the bridge, I saw a car that had smashed into sort of like the gate area or the fence, and it come off of Westminster Bridge, yeah, and careered into the walls there. And as it was going through, there was two people down looking pretty badly injured. There was a lot of blood about, and the car had, you know, obviously imploded, the airbags and things like that. And it was just a normal civilian car, that was.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. But there was a lot of activity going on inside Parliament, sort of like the green area.
Okay, so this is opposite Parliament Green itself, where the is this like the main gates that you can that go into?
Yeah, it's the main Houses of Commons. Yeah, it's the old main gates going into the Houses of Parliament.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the green there where they used to protest, it's that bit there, that bit bang opposite.
Yeah.
As you come, you know, as now, you come
there's ordinarily quite a heavy police presence there anyway for obvious security reasons. So, I mean, were there a lot of... I mean, what sort of numbers are we talking that were around at the time?
What, police?
Yeah, in terms of... Because obviously there's the gates are always, you know, seemingly very well defended, aren't they, or protected?
Yeah, you usually have a couple of two police officers at the front, and you usually have two or three down a bit further down to let all the cars in and out.
Yeah.
But seeing from where I'm seeing, most police officers have obviously gone into the Parliament, and then police just appear from everywhere. I mean, guns and everything, you know, it was kicking off pretty badly.
Yeah, and how long ago were we talking... since you saw this, Charlie?
I suppose it should be about 15, 20 minutes.
15, 20 minutes, which is when we first started to hear about it. And in terms of what you would, where you at the time, were you, I mean, did you get held up at all? Were you able to move away from the scene, given that it was so dangerous?
Well, I think it's happening so fast. It was just alive, and we just carry on as normal.
Yeah,
we were just carrying on through the lights and just going across. I mean, the traffic's pretty deep anyway today. Traffic in London is actually horrendous.
Yeah,
so you're moving at a very slow pace. So everything was just happening normally, but now we're all just gridlocked, just sitting around doing pretty much nothing.
Yeah, where and in terms of where they've cordoned off the roads, I mean, how wide a area are we talking, Charlie?
I'm not too sure now, because I'm off of Parliament Square.
Yep.
I'm actually on Victoria Embankment, but all around, everywhere's just stuck. Everywhere's just sitting there doing nothing now.
Yeah, all right.
All of Parliament Square is shut down. It's just complete lockdown, and they've pushed everyone off the square.
That's Charlie there, a cabbie, a London cabbie, who we spoke to earlier on Talk Radio. Just to bring you up to date, if you're just joining us, terror incident near the Houses of Parliament in London. It is a terror incident now, according to Scotland Yard. A policeman stabbed his attacker, shot by officers. The attacker mowed down several pedestrians as he drove it was a grey Hyundai car, we now know, across Westminster Bridge before crashing it into railings, then ran through the gates of the Palace of Westminster, stabbed an officer. Eyewitnesses saying that he was shot by police as he approached a second officer clutching the very same knife. Paramedics tending to the victims on the bridge and at the gate. We have no news of how many people are injured definitively, or indeed whether there are any deaths. We will, of course, keep you updated on Talk Radio throughout the afternoon. Sam Delaney is going to be with you on Drive Next. Hello, Sam.
Hi, John.
So you'll be covering this, I imagine.
Yes, we will be. Over the next 3 hours, we're going to keep you across all the details as they emerge. We've got our reporter down there on the ground. We are, of course, just a few hundred yards away from Westminster Bridge. We can see the helicopters hovering overhead through our window here at Talk Radio. We are best placed to keep you across all of the facts as they happen. It's 4 o'clock, and here's all the latest news with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Thanks, Sam. Coming up, a terror incident near Parliament.